about.
Hello!
Morning, Mr. Breakfast!
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Damn it!
I have got a serious case of the Mondays.
Doesn't often. Rayman look retarded, act retarded. Not retarded. Got 2 picks, cheated cards. Autistic. Show. Not retarded. Yeah, Tom Hanks, Forrest Gump. Slow, yes, retarded, maybe. Braces on his legs. But he charmed the pants off Nixon and won a ping pong competition. That ain't retarded. You went full retard, man.
Can I have a hug?
No. 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 Hell no. 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 I refuse. No.
Hey, so that's a pretty reasonable reaction, huh?
And now.
Good morning. Good morning. Fabulous. Outstanding. Wonderful. Terrific. Good morning. Yeah. Good morning.
Our feature presentation.
And that's not lost on Aaron Rodgers either. I mean, he knows that, so he's going to take a chance on this down that he may not take if the defense is playing better than they have.
Extra man on the blitz. Rodgers gets a hand to the face. The ball is out. The Arizona Cardinals win it.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That is what I'm talking about.
Mike and I were discussing before you came in. It's Kevin Abicho, by the way. Your calls in a moment for the Monday What It Do at 1-800-520-1067. We were talking about how until last Monday, I don't think I'd heard you mention the Arizona Cardinals all season long. But, man, you seemed excited yesterday.
Yeah, the Arizona Cardinals are kind of the background. I'm from Arizona. Love them. Want them to go all the way. Looking kind of shaky. But I was more into soccer, and I was more into the Kings, which right. I still kind of am. So it's kind of third place. But, man, that was exciting. Unless you like defense. In which,
96 points in the game yesterday, Lisa. 96 points.
Wow.
51-45. So basically the defenses just would go, hey, come on through.
Oh
yep.
God.
Every time you get the ball, you score. Pretty much that's how that game
nice.
Went. It was ridiculous. And it was one of those games where the lead just kept changing. And you get down to the last minute and Green Bay would, you know, get in the lead with 2 minutes left. And you go, okay, what happens now? Oh, Arizona gets the ball again? Oh, they'll score.
Yeah. Field goal? Oh, missed the field goal. Oh.
Overtime. Yeah, it was pretty exciting.
Some good football.
Yeah.
Not on all counts. Certain people of our group will not be happy.
I was paying attention to that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we need to know
bad.
What to expect. We need to know whether to come into the full body armor.
Right. Exactly.
Or what to expect exactly. But,
so not you a know, good the one, day.
The one thing I will say about Ralph is although he is, and he'll be in here in a couple minutes and he'll, I'm sure, have something to say about it. But although his heart is always 100% into his birds, he's also a realistic football fan.
Yeah.
Of course. He wanted more than anything in the world to see them win. He was not expecting them to win based on their performance last week against the Cowboys and how the Cowboys have just been surging like crazy this last month. Just
yeah.
Tony Romo playing like a champ, you know? So I don't think he was surprised, but obviously he's disappointed. I feel terrible for him because I don't have a dog in this hunt. I was rooting for the Eagles, too. That was going to be my team for the postseason.
If I don't care about either of the two teams, if I know somebody and like them, I want their team to win.
Right.
Yeah.
So. Right.
But that didn't work quite as well as we had hoped.
So Mike's got, his little Sanchito friend. Sanchito! Jets all the way.
Sanchito!
I am one of the people who loves Brett Favre, and as much as I hated to see him leave the Packers, I'm rooting for him as a Viking. So I think the Vikings are probably going to be my team from here out now.
All right.
So, well, got to have somebody to root for, you know, at this point of the season.
Yeah, sure. Otherwise, it gets kind of boring.
How about you, Lisa?
New Orleans.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. That's a good choice,
Lisa.
How come you pick them?
Can you elaborate?
Like the city.
Hey, nationally, except for the Cowboys, now a lot of the other big nationally popular teams like the Patriots are out. I think a lot of people will root for New Orleans because they want to see something good happen in that city.
Yeah, true.
Want to see New Orleans be happy, have a reason to celebrate because they've had a lot of bad luck in the last few years.
It's good as reason as any, right?
But they're playing the Cardinals, so F them.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh.
I'm sorry. You have to.
You're a
Kevin
mean
hopes
man.
The airport gets flooded and they're not even able to leave New Orleans.
Do?
How about that?
I wrote a blog on our at our website. Mm-hmm. The Detroit Red Wings are terrorists. So, you know, sometimes you got to come down hard on the other team. What are you going to do? And Osama bin Laden is actually one of the players on their team.
He is.
Well, with why can't we catch him?
With a little Photoshop.
He skates really fast.
He does. Oh, I see. That guy on skates, man, there's no way to catch him. It's unbelievable.
Even in robes, it's weird.
All right, let's begin today's show with your phone calls, 1-800-520-1067.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew? All right. How about a pair of tickets to the Monster Energy AMA Supercross? That's coming to Angel Stadium on Saturday, January the 23rd. That's your prize for Kevin Bean's What It Do, Nephew on a Monday. 1-800-520-1067. Let's talk to Sean real quick. He's on line 6 while we continue on the football topic for just a minute. All the buzz this weekend was about what Sean's calling for. Hey,
yep.
Dude.
Hey, what it do?
Hey, Sean, what's going on?
Hey, Dean, I wanted to get your take on what you thought of Pete Carroll going to Seattle.
For folks who didn't hear, Pete Carroll, who has been the longtime coach of the USC Trojans college football, he resigned over the weekend. He's going to be the head coach for the Seattle Seahawks. I mean, look, I have a lot of respect for Pete Carroll. He's a phenomenal college coach. He didn't have the most successful career last time he tried the NFL. There's no guarantee that because you're good at one, you'll be good at the other. I obviously wish him well. I'm glad they fired the last coach, Jim Mora. He was not a good coach, so I think it's an upgrade, but it remains to be seen whether he's going to be any good at in the pros again this time.
As of last night, I was still hearing the rumors that, you know, maybe he will, maybe he won't.
Yeah.
And, there had to be a lot of, listen, it's the pros. This is the big leagues. You know, I'd like to step up, but it's Seattle. So that's going to suck.
Yeah.
He can't do any worse than we did this season, though.
Well, that's true. There's the only direction you can go is up.
Right, so he's gonna look better. I mean, you know, Kevin, you follow football closely.
Yeah.
A lot of guys try to make that jump. It's not easy.
Yeah, of course. But you know what? It seems like he's one of the guys that hasn't been trying that hard. Seems to be pretty happy at USC. He's accomplishing a tremendous amount.
Yeah.
He's on the national stage as much as he would be in the NFL.
I think that's a better job being the head coach at USC, to tell you the truth, than being the head coach of the Seahawks. But maybe he feels like been there, done that, and he wants to prove something because he got fired after coaching the Jets for a season.
Right.
He got fired with the Patriots because he couldn't get them to the playoffs a couple years in a row. So maybe he feels like, you know, that's business left unfinished.
Yeah,
so I wish him nothing but the best.
You know? Seattle.
You know, the Seahawks were in the Super Bowl 4 years ago. I mean, it's not like they've got a franchise that's never been able to succeed.
It's like the basketball coach is going, yeah, I got a great offer. I can coach the Clippers. And then everybody else will go, you know what? You might want to stay where you are.
Let's try Sean. Sean is calling us on line 2, 1-800-520-1067. Hey, Sean, welcome to the show. What's up?
What it do? I will do, baby boo.
What it do?
All right, so I saw a little amazing sight today, waiting for my local bike shop to open up.
Okay.
I guess it would be sad to one of your phone screeners, but I saw a midget fall off a curb into a puddle and do a little turtle on its back action, trying to get out of it.
Nice.
Oh, come on.
You don't see that every day.
It was amazing, and I thought I would like to share that with you guys.
The midget was laying on his back in the puddle, kicking his little arms and legs, trying to turn over?
It was like trying to do like one of those baby rollovers, and it just didn't make it.
Wow, that's good times.
That's fantastic.
He was with some normal people, so they helped.
Normal people. When I was
he was with humans.
When I was in high school, I was on a bike at an intersection, and I just bit it. I don't know. I wasn't paying attention. Hits a curb or something. Just bit it, just hard, just face first right into the asphalt. And a car pulled up next to me and said, "Dude, I totally missed that. Can you do it again?" I was like, "I'd rather not. If I have an option."
That's funny.
Let's try Sergio. How about that? Line 4 on Kevin Bean, What It Do, Nephew, for a Monday. Hey, Sergio, welcome to the show. What's going on?
What It Do, Nephew? What It Do, Kelly Boo?
What It Do?
Do you want to see where's Victor Fuentes?
He was asking for the update on whether we've found him.
Victor Fuentes, for those that don't recognize the name, is perhaps the best 911 call ever.
Fire department operator 75, what's the address, please?
16121. Hello? Hello?
I'm here. What's the address? I'm waiting for you to tell me.
Guy's the best.
First of all, no, we have it. We did get a hold of his cousin who said he was going to try to track Victor down, although it had been some time since he spoke with him. And it turned out his name isn't even Victor Fuentes. He was goofing on the 911 when he called.
But here's one of those things, Bean, that to me it seems like every step of the way has been shaky. They say to the cousin, don't buy it.
Right.
You know what I mean? They say it's not his name. Don't buy it. I don't know. It just seems like we're not making much real progress, although we're still on the hunt.
Yeah, we're still working. But if you're a fan of Victor Fuentes, as we are, please don't go away, because in about a half an hour, we're going to debut the Omar Khan remix of the Victor Fuentes 911 call. And you're going to love it. I'm telling you, this is going to be the dance sensation of the new decade.
DJ Omar Khan.
So thank you for the call. We appreciate it. All right, we will take a break, and we will come back. Ralph has the showbiz beat. We have a great instant request that I think you'll love. We have Olivia Munn in the studio today.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I heard her so much.
Olivia Munn!
I'm no meteorologist, but I'm pretty sure it's raining bitches.
I'm with you.
Bad run-ins with the homeless?
Always good.
Depends on what city you live in, whether, you know, how many homeless people there are. If you live somewhere cold, probably not all that many.
There are aggressive homeless.
Yes.
There are scary homeless.
Yep.
I mean, there's a lot of ways the homeless encounter can go poorly.
They have guns at times.
Sometimes they have guns, yes.
The amount of money that you give them, not sufficient sometimes.
Sometimes you give them food. They don't want food.
They want
money to buy alcohol.
That's right. So we'll do that today as well. And another rousing rendition of Would You Like to Take That Back?
Excellent.
Which we have been in the air exactly 1 week in the new year. We've got enough clips to play the game. Give ourselves a second chance at trying again.
It's kind of an indictment on the quality of this program, I think.
Yeah. So we'll do that, too. We'll take a quick break. Ralph's got the showbiz beat next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Let's go!
Hey! Well, that needs
a little
one.
Redundant. A little redundant.
Yeah.
It's already kind of there.
Wow.
Kind of been there, yeah.
Yeah. Harsh. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is 5:49.
This is Monday. It's an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. Got Pearl Jam on the way, also Sublime and Muse. What's new, right? And here's Ralph Garman with our first look at the showbiz beat for a new week. Hey, Ralph.
As we do every Monday morning, we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. And this little indie film, Avatar, seems to really have caught the imagination of America.
It's word of mouth, man.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
In its fourth week in theaters, Avatar made... I like Avatar.
Avatar. Yeah. That's the sequel I want to see.
Avatar made $48.5 million this weekend.
It is what weekend?
In its fourth weekend in theaters. Come on, people.
That's crazy.
It's nuts.
It's a good movie. It's worth seeing.
I agree.
But $50 million on its fourth weekend?
When you consider that, what percentage would you say 95% of movies that are released never make $50 million?
Yeah, ever, right.
This craziness.
Just in the fourth weekend.
Sherlock Holmes was number two, made $16.6 million. To show you the difference between number one and two this week.
Rachel McAdams.
There you go. Alvin and the Chipmunks, The Squeakquel, continues to be a hit. Made another $16 million. Daybreakers, in its debut, made $15 million.
Saw that.
Four.
Saw the Daybreakers.
Did you?
Love Me the Vampire movies.
Yeah. Yes.
There wasn't enough blood. That was my complaint. Not enough blood. Because
are you being facetious?
Yes, because...
In case other people haven't seen the movie, then it doesn't really pay off to make a joke like that. That's the problem. Because we don't know. Maybe there isn't enough blood.
Well, okay, let me just put it this way.
All right.
95% of the time of the movie involved blood explosions and
really?
Blood going everywhere. And
it's blood. Raining blood.
It was raining blood.
There it is.
It was, yes.
Wow.
That was for you, Mike.
Thanks.
It was pretty decent.
The blood explosions, by the way.
No.
Playing at the Troub this weekend.
Yeah.
Check it out. It's Complicated was fifth in Leap Year. The new Amy Adams film was sixth. The Blind
Lisa,
Side.
How
was Leap
yet.
Year?
Haven't
what? That's
yet.
All you were talking about on Friday.
Very excited. Haven't gone yet.
You better hurry up. Only made $9 million this weekend.
Aww.
So better rush. The Blind Side was seventh up in the air. Youth in Revolt. And The Princess and the Frog rounding out your top 10 at the box office.
That's the other one I want to see was Youth in Revolt. Anyone?
Mm-mm. I have not, did not have a chance
to see that. I want to see that.
I was busy this weekend being a godfather. I'm a godfather.
Somebody
really?
Said, in case something happens to us,
we would like you and your wife to raise our kids.
To you
mm-hmm.
or mainly to your wife?
Mainly to his wife.
Well, mainly to my wife.
Yeah.
But still, I get to be the godfather.
Wow.
Do we,
that's pretty cool.
Come to me on the day of my daughter's wedding.
knowing I can refuse you no favor. Did you ever offer me friendship? Did you ever once say, Don Corleone, come to my house, have a cup of coffee? No. And yet, you come to me asking for favors. You want this young man killed. That is not justice. You did not murder your daughter. But believe me, on this day, this will be taken care of for you, my friend.
Does the couple that made the decision...
Thank you.
That was very well done, Don Ralph.
Thank you so much.
Does the couple that made the decision know your wife...
The decision was made by people who
do they
know
your wife really well and just you kind of? Like, they can't know much about
you. It's my sister-in-law and her husband. It's my wife's sister.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
And her husband.
Okay.
We know each other very well.
Okay, all right.
We're practically family.
Right.
I would say.
Forgive my ignorance on this topic, but of course no one has ever asked me to be a godfather.
Nor will they.
What are your responsibilities? Is it only in the event of the death of the parents you step in and make sure the kids provided for, or do you have obligations ongoing while everybody's alive?
Well, it depends on your perspective. The practical application is that, yes, you're supposed to take care of the kids in the event of an untimely passing of their parents.
Of both parents, yeah. But the
religious aspect is that you're supposed to guide them into a Christian and godly life. That's what you're supposed to do.
You are the right
man to keep them on track.
You're the right man for the job.
So I was just hoping, as I was in the church near the bassinet there, the basin where they do the actual baptism, mm-hmm. that I wouldn't burst into flames at some point.
You use holy water for that? Because you got to keep your distance.
Yeah, I didn't actually put my hand in the holy water. I was able to keep a distance.
At the ceremony, do you have a role to play? Do they do something? Do they have an oath or anything like that?
They ask you questions. Yeah. They ask you,
really?
Like, you renounce the devil and all his works, whatever.
How can you do that?
So you lied in church.
Because I renounce the devil and all his works.
You love the devil and all his works.
I don't love the devil.
You worship the devil.
I just have different opinions about whose department is whose. A lot of people who think is the devil's work, I actually think is God's work. In my opinion, you can't prove otherwise. So, meh.
Well, congratulations. It's quite an honor, right?
Thank you. Well, I'm very happy to be the guy.
Not a bad choice.
Just so I could do my Marlon Brando all weekend.
Yeah.
Pretty much
what
I was doing. You know, I'm the godfather now. I kept saying to people. So. Where the heck was I?
No idea.
I don't either. David Hasselhoff, we talked about it last week.
Yes,
he's leaving America's Got Talent. Looks like they have found a replacement. Howie Mandel will be the new judge on America's Got Talent next to Piers Morgan and Sharon Osbourne.
He seems like he would be good.
Sure.
Too good, I think.
Yeah,
half the fun for me was watching Hasselhoff sort of Paula Abdul his way through every episode of America's Got Talent.
He was Trainwreck TV, that's for sure.
Still no word on David's new show for NBC, but oh, come on.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Look, we got all the time now, NBC. We have all those freed up hours at 10 o'clock. I say the David Hasselhoff show should be plugged in there at some point.
5 days a
David
week.
David Hasselhoff is a legend in Europe.
This is a mess.
Sure is. Speaking of 10 o'clock on NBC, the Jay Leno experiment is over. Mm. We were talking about at the end of last week that it looked like they were going to have to kill the Jay Leno show.
Kill Jay, I think.
No, just the show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Apparently, once the Olympics kick in, then programming won't be an issue. But when that is over, they are going to move Jay to 11:30. To do his show for a half an hour, followed by The Tonight Show with Conan O'Brien at 12:05, and then Late Night with Jimmy Fallon at 1:05 after that.
So they're not going to call the Leno part The Tonight Show?
That is not The Tonight Show.
Oh,
no. That's going to be The Jay Leno Show.
Have we heard from Conan and from Fallon? Are
well,
they happy
apparently
with that?
Jay is on board, Conan less so.
Sure.
Not too pleased that his show is being moved back a half an hour.
Sure. They made him a lot of promises.
No one bothered to ask Jimmy Fallon because it doesn't matter what he thinks.
Conan could reject the offer and sit on the beach and make $20 million a year if he wanted to.
His contract would still be intact and he could just keep making that money.
Wow. I think 3 or 4 more years, Kevin.
Wow.
Can you imagine?
Or he could go to another network
to
if
Fox,
he wanted to.
Yeah.
I tell you who gets the raw deal here, and I know most people won't care because it's so late at night, but Carson Daly, who is the cleanup, the runner-up, the last position in that lineup. He is going to get squeezed out with this new schedule because the network ends at 2, and then it goes back to the affiliate.
Oh,
so there's probably
no
Carson show with all this.
Oh, yeah. You don't want to miss that.
I'll tell you, for the late night shows, the music on Carson's show was head and shoulders above every other show.
Yeah. And he does a nice job with the program, too.
But, it looks like he's going to be doing his show at like 4:30. I don't know.
Or maybe not.
Or maybe not.
Not doing the show. Yeah. Right. So wait and see. And sad news.
Okay. Are you going to tell us?
I'm just trying to find a way to break it to you so you don't lose it, so we can still have you for the rest of the show.
All right.
He was once a little green slab of clay.
Gumby?
Gumby? Gumby. Art Clokey, the man who created Gumby back in the early 1950s, has passed away at the age of 88.
Oh, God, no!
No! God! No! God, please, no! 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 No!
He's Gumby's dad.
He was once a little green dab of clay. Gumby.
Sing it if you know it.
But you should see what Gumby can do today. Gumby. He can walk into any book with his poem.
Yeah, right here.
Swing it, Daddy.
Is my memory correct, or did we or did we not perform this song on a variety show at a live event?
There was a brief moment in the 90s where we decided to put together a Las Vegas-style Kevin and Bean review. And
what?
We did, in fact, we were doing a broadcast from Palm Springs. Look at Mike's head explode. We're doing a show from Palm Springs, and we interviewed the mayor of Palm Springs, Sonny Bono, at the time, and did a bunch of other stuff around Palm Springs. And part of the act was us singing the Gumby song out on stage in front of a whole bunch of people.
I think that was the big closer, by the way. Man, we brought down the house with that one.
I think so. Yeah, we did learn the Gumby song.
Wow, you guys should have seen that. It was bad.
Did you have no one working with you at the time that when you a-holes would say, let's do a Vegas-style review in Palm Springs, no one would turn around and say, no, that's a dumb idea?
No, just answer that question yourself.
No.
No, of course not.
I'm guessing you had tons of people saying it, but you were like, no, it's a great idea. We're doing it anyway. That's what I'm guessing.
You guys just don't have the vision.
Right. It's going to be hilarious.
Everybody loves
Sonny
that Gumby
Bono's
song.
The mayor there. We'll go there and talk to him. Then we'll sing Gumby. F you.
That was it, by the way. That was the whole plan.
Wow. No.
Anyway, he, of course, went on to fame. Gumby did when Eddie Murphy sort of revived the character back on Saturday Night Live back in the 80s. But Gumby's been around for a long, long time.
50 years or something, I think.
And Art Clokey, who, as I mentioned, passed away, went to USC Film School. That's where he came up with the idea while he was at USC. So,
would you like to see the numbers, like what he made throughout his lifetime on just Gumby?
Well, it was the first time anyone had ever done any claymation. Where they, you know, use clay and take photos of it to animate it.
Right.
Which now is a common experience. You see it all the time. But that was the first time anybody thought about that. Mm-hmm. So.
He didn't make as much money as you might think, by the way. He resisted the urge to merchandise it. For the first 7 years that Gumby was on TV, he refused to sell anything because he said, hey, it's supposed to be educational. I'm not trying to make money off of it. Or I don't want people to think I'm selling out. So he probably missed out on a lot of opportunities to make cash.
That was a bad decision.
He also made Davy and Goliath. Remember that one?
No.
Gee, Davey, that's the religious program about the talking dog, and his talking
that
dog.
That was the moneymaker for him.
Big Great Dane, named Goliath.
Gee, Davey, your dad's angry because you raped that girl.
It was like, oh, what kinds of lessons
like
do you
that?
Learn on
what
Sunday
happened?
Morning?
No important lessons?
I forget the actual lessons. I just know that the dog talked. Which on Sunday morning sometimes when I was, partying.
Before you were a godfather.
I couldn't be sure whether I was an actual show or whether I was just imagining it.
You hadn't gone to bed yet.
Exactly. Yeah. I didn't know what was that. That dog's talking. Today's celebrity birthdays. Amanda Peet celebrates her 38th birthday.
Yeah, way hot.
She's delicious. Mary J. Blige is 39. Our buddy Tom Dumont.
Bell, no bell on Mary J.
Mary Jane.
I'm going love her as an artist.
I
not
think
hot,
so,
though, right?
Either.
No bell.
She was at the Laker game, set pretty close to me about a week ago. She's gotten a bell again, I think, for body. Like, she's been working out or something.
Okay, but let me ask you this. Below the waist and above the thighs.
Below the waist. Uh-huh.
Gigantic ass.
She does. She's
so out of proportion for
her
body.
She's a bubble butt. She has a robust derriere, but it's solid, which I think gives, you know, you can have a big ass and thighs if it's made of wood, not cheese. In my opinion.
All right, now that I've heard from everyone, I think a wood ass. The ruling is going to be no bell today for Mary J.
I think the minute you engage into a conversation of this ilk, you are dismissing the bell.
Yeah.
The bell is pretty self-explanatory, I think.
Sorry, Mary.
If you have to start breaking things down like this, I think usually it's a no bell situation.
It's best when she's sad anyway.
She's going to win a Nobel Prize?
I'll put it in the file.
Please, thank you.
You said it's a Nobel situation.
Nobel situation, right.
Right.
What's that doing? You said Nobel Prize? The Nobel situation doesn't even sound like Nobel Prize. Not even close.
You said Nobel.
What happened?
Put in the file.
Actress Kim Coles from Living Single is 48 years old today. Did I mention Tom Dumont from No Doubt is 42, our buddy Tom? Did I mention that?
You have not.
He did, but I believe I interrupted you to ask the question about Mary.
This is a Nobel Prize. And Naomi Judd, country singer Naomi Judd, who is the hotter of the Judds.
Yes.
And she's 64, and she's way hot compared to her enormous daughter, who's not as hot as the other daughter, who's Ashley Judd, who's way hot.
Right. Ashley hot, the other one, enormous.
Winona, isn't it? Winona?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Naomi's the mom of them all, and she's 64 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday, an update from TMZ.com with our friend Harvey Levin, minutes away, and then the first for 2010 edition of Would You Like to Take That Back? All right. How about the Kevin and Bean Afro line on the air right now at 323-520-AFRO? This is the answering machine that we have set up because, let's face it, we're not always on the radio. You can't always call and talk to us at the time. Maybe you think of something you want to share with us. We play it back right now.
You want to drive 269 feet. What's up with the breathing, Bane?
Got to do it to live.
It's the best answer ever.
That's what's up with it.
Yeah. I want to start up my own company called Mammary Mattresses, and the freaking mattress is nothing but nice, fat, juicy boobs. What a best sleep ever.
True.
Okay.
Be pretty good, right?
Yeah. Not bad.
So I'm recapping all these lost episodes because I want to make sure I know what I'm getting into when the season starts back up. Everything's awesome except for Juliet and her stupid ass grin. Every time she grins, I want to punch her in her stupid face. Hi, Lisa.
Well, you must be pretty happy when she got blowed up last season then.
What? I haven't seen it yet.
I didn't mean to spoil it for you.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, I have an instant request. Can somebody punch Mike in the nuts?
Done it. That has happened.
Yep.
So, I'll do it again.
You're going to send Mike out to Jack in the Box when Chet Patrick comes in? Why can't he just stay there and Jack in the Box? Just curious.
Yeah!
Wow.
Wow.
How about that?
Wow. Told the story at the end of December about Fletcher from Pennywise.
Yeah.
And how we were doing the concert at Universal Studios in Hollywood. And he stole the tram and ended up down by the shark exhibit. And then he got arrested. And then they let him go. And it was just a whole ordeal.
Smith Cleo needs to shut the f*** up and get some f*** in her.
Okay. That had nothing to do with Fletcher. This one does.
Hey, you guys went on vacation and I wasn't able to call and comment on the Fletcher story, which was one of the most incredible stories ever. But what I wanted to ask was, when the cops finally discovered him and had their stun guns pointed at his nuts, did he say, "Don't tase me, bro"?
All right, that was worth the wait.
All right, that was good. Those of you that don't know Pennywise songs probably didn't think that was all that funny, but what are you going to do? Remember the dude last week that called the 911, Victor Fuentes?
Oh, of course.
Our favorite guy ever.
Oh, he's got all my time to fly. He shoots, he scores! Hello? This is Victor Fuentes, boo!
He's the best. And then this one came in about the same topic.
Hello? Hello? Hey, what up, boo? This is Mr. Fuentes, boo. Listen, I need you to take care of something for me, okay? I need you to send me some ambulance, okay, fool? Okay, I need you to take care of this for me, okay, homeboy? Okay, I gotta go. Oakland Raiders.
That is pretty much the only thing that he didn't say on the call.
Yeah, that's true.
Raiders.
Yeah, that's what we're waiting for.
So DJ Omar Khan did put that 911 call to a rave bed.
Oh, really?
And I believe it is a dance sensation already in Sweden and Norway. So check this out.
Fire department operator 75-75. What's the address, please?
16-12-1-1. Hello? Hello?
I'm here. What's the address? I'm waiting for you to tell me. Is it a house, apartment, or business?
There's a house in Compton.
What's wrong right now?
I don't know. I just want to
what they take the ambulance, take me to the hospital, and that's it.
How old are you?
I'm 19, homeboy. Homeboy.
You're a male. You're a male.
I'm a male, but yeah, of course.
What happened to you?
I fell down. I want them to take my head. Take my head.
You fell off what?
What?
What'd you fall off of?
What? Hello. Hello. Too much information, this man. Too much information, this man. Too much information, this man. Hello.
Well, we need to get the information so we know what ambulance to send.
Oh. Hello.
Been drinking it all tonight.
What?
Have you been drinking it all tonight?
A couple. Hey, you don't gotta bring all that siren and something like quiet and.
Oh yeah, okay.
Alright, home. Alright, home. Hey, too much information and man.
You having any trouble breathing right now?
Hell no. Hello?
Any nausea?
What?
Vomiting? You think you're gonna throw up at all?
What?
How about pale, cool, or sweaty skin? Like you're going into shock.
But like going to sleep and
what's your name?
Victor Fuentes.
Alright, Victor, we'll be there in just a moment.
Come on.
There that's it is. Pretty awesome.
Well done. DJ Omar.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show for a Monday. Your run-ins with the homeless coming up on today's Kevin and Bean Show. Plus, the beautiful Olivia Munn joins us coming up in a couple of hours, too. That's the way you want to come back to a work week, by the way, with Olivia Munn.
That's right.
All right. Speaking of Mondays, let's catch up with our friend Harvey Levin, TMZ.com, the entertainment news website of record and an awesome TV show, too. Harvey, how was your weekend, dude?
It was good. How was yours?
Good.
Fine.
Good. Ours probably wasn't as busy as yours.
I had to go to New York to do people's court, and it was it was 18 degrees, and I had to and I'm not wearing, like, leather or anything like that anymore, and it was so cold.
18.
I know we've asked you this before, because you're so busy, why you still continue to fly all the way to New York. And the answer is always that you love it, but at some point, you're going to get tired of this commute.
So can I just tell you a quick case? And sure. I'll tell you, so these two lesbians wanted to have a baby, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And so, but they wanted to have it at the same time. They wanted to get pregnant at the same time, and they wanted their kids to have the same father. So they advertised on Craigslist.
Right.
And they found a guy. They interviewed 25 people, and they found this guy. He's this really kind of clean-cut, a little bit goofy guy, and they hired him to come over to the house and make two deposits a day. So ultimately, the whole deal fell apart because he, and this is a real case, I'm telling you, it's a totally real case. The deal fell apart because they weren't getting pregnant, so they forced him to do four deposits a day. And he's like 20 years old, and he's explaining to the judge, Your Honor, I don't know how to explain how this works and what the problem here was. And it was the funniest, but yeah. It was real. So that's why I do people's court.
Because you get to see stories like that you ordinarily wouldn't. Now,
couldn't you just watch it on TV?
That's a good answer.
Lisa says, couldn't you just watch it on TV and get all the same enjoyment without all the travel?
I never thought of that.
No, Harvey just talked to him.
Oh. That's true. All right, let's turn our attention to whatever you love. But I got to tell you, the world is watching on what Conan O'Brien is going to do. I saw you had photographers on him over the weekend as he's out walking around mulling whether to take the money and run or what. What do you think's going on here, Harvey?
Well, first of all, I'm going to take credit for the TMZ staff here. We broke the story. We found out what really happened here because everybody was saying, oh, Jay's getting fired. We broke the story that they were moving Jay back to the 11:30 hour. I know what's happening here.
Harvey, I don't know how to tell you this, but you break all the stories.
Well, no.
So this does not stand out.
This is a little bit outside of our wheelhouse.
Okay. All right.
So here's what's so interesting about it. I can tell you, here's exactly what's going on.
All right.
So Conan O'Brien has a right to this 11:35 time slot.
Right.
By taking him off and putting him on at 12:05, NBC has breached the contract.
Right.
Conan is making somewhere between $12.5 and $20 million a year. He has 4 years left in the contract and is guaranteed, which means that NBC could theoretically be on the hook to him for $80 million.
Even if he didn't do a thing from now till then?
If he goes to the beach, he gets $80 million, up to $80 million.
Wow!
So
yes,
one,
please.
Now that's one option. Now here are the other two options he's got. The second option is if he really wants to keep doing a show, he could try to go to Fox or ABC. And if he went to Fox or ABC and say they offered him 2/3 of the salary he was making at NBC,
right?
NBC would only have to pay him the additional third for the remaining four years.
Oh, but they'd have to make it up anyway.
Well, they'd have to make it up, but right. NBC would pay less if he went to Fox.
Right.
I am told they would be happy if he did. I mean, they're actually conflicted because they would give Jay back the full hour if Conan left. But the third option is if Conan just eats crow and Conan takes the 12:05 time slot. And if he takes the 12:05 time slot, then... You know, the good thing for NBC is they're not going to splinter the 11:30 hour. So if Conan went to ABC or Fox, then it will all be divided up. And
right.
You know, so, you know, all in all, if Conan just eats crow and says, I'll take 12:05, they're not going to have to pay him any penalty. They just pay him the same salary and he'd end up having to work. So those are his three options.
Wow. All right. How about that? By the way, does it bother anyone else? I know I'm a stickler for this sort of thing, but can they really continue to call it the Tonight Show if it's on after midnight and then now it's tomorrow?
I think... You know, that's funny. I mean, I don't know that they would... It's a good question. I don't know if they'd continue calling it The Tonight Show. I don't know the answer to that. I mean, they'll have breached the See, here's my feeling about it. They'll have already breached the contract by moving him. So as long as they breach it, they'll just change the name of the show and call it The Conan O'Brien Show or something like that.
Right, right, right.
And then there's no Tonight Show unless that's what they're going to call the half-hour Jay Leno experiment.
Yeah, I would guess they would name Jay's show that again.
Now, I don't know how you make a half-hour work in that time slot. And I'm told that NBC is working on it and Leno's working on it. And maybe they can do it. But everybody lost in this one. I mean, yeah. You know, NBC lost, Jay lost, Conan lost. The local newscast got hammered with bad ratings.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, and then Jeff Zucker gets promoted.
it's not very often that everyone loses. So congratulations to NBC on that one.
The only winners are ABC, CBS, and Fox. They're the ones who have been benefiting, right?
Okay, now let's talk about the most ironic thing, that the real big winner here, David Letterman. In the middle of the whole thing that's going on, David Letterman is the big winner.
Sure. Yeah.
That's right. All right. One more thing real quick before you go, Harvey, only because I know there was breaking news on it over the weekend. What is going on with Dr. Conrad Murray? He, of course, is the doctor who is accused of giving Michael Jackson the propofol that eventually ended up killing him. There had been some questions about whether he would ever be charged, and if so, with what? What's the latest on that?
Well, on Thursday, we broke a story on the site that the police investigation is over. It's been concluded. It actually was finished around mid-December. And what they're trying to do now is set up a huge meeting between the people in the DA's office and people in the LAPD. It's going to be a huge meeting. A lot of people want to be involved.
Right.
They have not made a decision. I mean, what we said is there is a strong likelihood, which is true, that Murray is going to be prosecuted for involuntary manslaughter in the death of Michael Jackson. There was a report out that it's a done deal. It's not. It's not true. There's a nervousness in law enforcement that the honchos in the DA's office may not want to go for involuntary. It's a hard case, and they might go for something lesser. It's still likely they're going to go for involuntary, but until this presentation happens, it's not a done deal.
Harvey, I read on your site that Dr. Murray did not break any laws.
Well, his lawyer, Michael Flanagan, I talked to him yesterday, and his lawyer said...
Oh, his lawyer said that.
He may be right, Murray's lawyer. He may be right that there's not a law that's broken. Now, when you prosecute somebody for involuntary manslaughter, you don't have to necessarily prove a violation of the law. What you have to prove is the person acted in a grossly negligent way.
Oh, well, that they could do.
Well, and the LAPD, they did a great job in this case. I got to tell you, they spent months on this, and they really did an exceptional job. And they got a bunch of doctors together, among other things, who are now on record explaining exactly the reasons they believe that Murray's conduct was gross negligence and even recklessness. So that's going to be the trick to the case. And the question is, would a jury ultimately say, you know, given the backdrop, that Dr. Murray is essentially guilty of a homicide, and that's the wild card here.
Yeah, so after all the high-profile problems that they've had, they want to make sure that the charge that they charge him with, they can prove and they can win.
And that's why this case took so long, and everybody was wondering. They don't want another O.J. Simpson. They don't want another Robert Blake. And, you know, I've seen a lot of these cases in my day, and this is one of the best investigated cases I've ever seen.
Right.
All right, good times. Thank you, Harvey. We know you got to get to your meeting. It's always a pleasure to catch up with you. Have a fantastic week at TMZ.com. We'll talk again, all right?
Okay, guys, see ya.
Monday on the Kevin and Bean Show, got an instant request coming up for you. Also, your bad run-ins with the homeless. Got a very funny email from somebody, by the way, who's going to tell – relays the story about being chased around New York City by a homeless guy in just his underwear. So those are the kind of stories I'm very much looking forward to hearing next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
First, though, it's time for Would You Like to Take That Back?
Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me, would you, if you could, you would you take that back? Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me, would you, if you could, you could you take that back?
Now, here's the thing about doing this radio show. A lot of times, something pops into your head, and it sounds great. That is going to be a good, good joke. And then somehow the process of getting it out of your mouth, it turns out it wasn't as funny quite as you heard in your head. Mm-hmm. So now with 20/20 hindsight, maybe you could go back and go, I'd like to take that back. Maybe I wish I hadn't said it.
I'd like to add to that, which is the more common experience for me, is the joke is fine when it comes out. Maybe there's a problem with the receptors. Maybe sometimes the audience is the problem.
Yeah, it's always the listener, not you.
I just like to suggest that there are times where the material is up to snuff. Unfortunately, you're wasting it on people who can't appreciate it.
Sure, because you're too deep for them. All right, the first
one. M. Night Shyamalan.
The first, Would You Like to Take That Back, is a Psycho Mike one. And I believe it happened on the, you know, first minute of the first day of the of this year. And Ralph was doing the showbiz beat. He was talking about Flash Gordon. How the casting of that movie, and then Psycho Mike in the back of the room came up with the first one of the year.
And then, of course, we were also talking about the new Flash Gordon movie that's in the works with Sam Worthington in talks to
and
play.
Oh, wow. Put it in the file for the first time this year.
Wow.
File it.
First 2010, would you like file to take it. That back? Right there.
Would you like to take that back?
No!
Sam Worthington
is an actor.
Really? That aggressively, no?
The actor from Terminator Salvation and from the new Avatar.
Right.
So Mike's joke, for folks who don't know, is Cal Worthington, for many, many years, for decades, in fact, ran commercials for an auto dealership where it was Cal Worthington and his little dog Spot. Right.
Like locally in Southern California, right.
And that's the joke that Mike was making. Look, do whatever you want, Mike. I thought it was great.
Yeah, of course, that's all you need to know.
And by the way, that's all
you need
your mind.
To know.
Listen, I ain't not only am I not taking it back, I swim in it. I shower in that. What you know about that in his dog Spot? I love it.
It's wow, no surprise. No surprise.
We were talking about Warren Beatty, 13,000 women. And then we started taking phone calls from people who would say, oh, I had a different woman every week for however many weeks.
Right.
And Bean was very, 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 he misunderstood this in the way that he couldn't fathom how people didn't get tired of it. Tired of that once a week sex. He just could not figure out what was going on there. And then he made a joke that none of us got.
So if the woman on week 36 is Katy Perry, you don't want to get rid of her. You don't want to throw her out and go out and look for number 37 because now you want to spend some time with 36. That's my whole point, is why all the turnover?
Let me tell you something. The 36 is never Katy Perry.
Yeah.
That's why.
That is why.
Yeah. And Russell Brand went through a lot of 36s before he got to Katy Perry. You know what I'm saying?
Now he's got a 38.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know what that means. What's that mean?
They're really big. That's all.
So that's a...
Would you like to take that back?
Definitely, I think. I mean, this is a given, right?
I'll throw that one.
You know,
I'll
when it comes to bra sizes, that the number is actually just the circumference of the rib cage.
It's not, I understand that, but there are a lot of
the boobs are.
There are a lot of beautiful women with 38 breasts that are huge, like Katy Perry's. But
you could be a 38A. You could be a 38A.
Of course, you could. Yeah, okay. But I wasn't going into breaking it down, you know, in detail. It was just a throwaway line. But I'll take that one back.
All right. Wow. Bean's taking one back. How about that?
I take most of them back, by the way.
So then.
Even though it's the receivers. I take it back anyway.
It's you people.
It's your fault.
It's you people that are listening poorly, that don't have a sense of humor like I do. So then we were talking about Russell Brand and all the things that he's gone through in his life and how odd it is that Katy Perry is now with him. And a certain man by the name of Ralph Garman is in this one. He was in a loony bin. He was in regular rehab. He was in sex rehab.
Right.
All of the above.
Saying, you know, he could be, he's hot and he's cold. He's up and he's down. I'm just saying, there's a lot of downside. I'm just saying.
I am not a fan of you.
Would you like to take that back?
Well, I wish I had the song on my fingertips. I'm saying Katy Perry had a very popular song called Hot and Cold, where she talks about someone being up and they're down, they're black and they're white, they're hot and they're cold.
Can I weigh in on this?
A person with wildly varying mood swings.
Can I weigh in on this before you give us your answer?
Absolutely.
I would like to suggest that not the lyric thing I don't like, I'm not a fan of, fit perfectly into that story.
Wow!
Perfectly.
And yet you're still requesting I take it back.
Just bringing it up.
Would you like to take that back?
Don't have to.
I would choose not to.
All right.
Yeah!
Yes. I think it's apropos.
Hmm? Would you take that back?
Apropos.
So then we were talking to, I don't know, what was it, the Chinese porn spokesperson? You know, they're cracking the down.
Cultural minister in Japan, yes. China.
I forget the good, great leader from North Korea.
Kim Jong-il?
Kim Jong-il.
Right.
I don't know
which
who
one
was.
I
don't know who it was. But that's
one of my many disparate Asian characters,
yes.
Is that what you're trying to say?
That's not the important part. The important part is the follow-up joke by Bean.
How you doing, Randall?
We are good. How are you today?
Happy New Year!
Thank you. To
it's
you, too.
It's the year of the tiger.
Right.
Oh, is it? That's funny. It's the year of the tiger over here also.
See? That was a Tiger Woods joke.
Would you like to take that back?
I think that's fine. What's wrong? I don't have any. I mean, because Tiger has just been dominating the news in the United States for the last month. I'm just saying it's a year of the Tigers.
That's all.
In a different way than the man on the phone meant it to.
Here's
be.
The given, though. If we could please just go with the given. We all get it. It's not that we're confused, and if you explain it to us, we're going to laugh our ass off.
I'm not taking that one.
Yeah!
I'm not taking
would
that one
like
back.
To take that back.
Really?
It's the year of the Tiger. It was a good tie-in. I stand by that.
All right, the next one is Ralph talking about Vince Vaughn getting married, and he came up with this gem.
Congratulations to Vince Vaughn. He tied the knot Saturday with his girlfriend Kyla Weber in a small private ceremony outside Chicago, and no one crashed their wedding. Oh, no, he didn't. He was in Wedding Crashers.
No. Nope.
A very popular film. That
Nope.
Yeah, I'll take that one back.
All right.
Would you like to take that back?
By the way, is Kevin the one who decides what goes in the file? It's curious to me, as a man who's heard this program for a lot of years, that there aren't more Kevins in this file. What's up with that?
Anybody that wants to can say, file it.
Yeah, it's usually a general consensus. Yeah. We all sort of know when they need to be
Anybody
filed.
Anybody that wants to put one in the file, you put it in the file. It's just, I have been spectacular.
Doesn't so, it seem like, though, don't you go home every day thinking, wow, I can't believe Kevin said that, like, every single
Kevin,
day? Like, where are they?
No, Kevin rarely gets enough words out that we can understand to make sort of a pun or a bad joke. Usually we just make fun of him going, I'm throwing cans, and then we put that into, you know, a moment with Kevin.
That's a different thing where you can't understand a word I'm saying.
That's right.
Yeah. And finally, we had Yvonne Strahovski in the studio from Chuck. Super hot blonde from Chuck. And this was at the end of the interview.
Okay.
Yeah. Yvonne, you're the best. Thank you for coming in. We'd like to have you again sometime if
Thank
we haven't
you.
Scared you too much.
And on the radio, too.
So, see, we'd like to have her again.
Right.
And then Beans, but not now. And also on the radio, that means it was sex before.
Let me get my raincoat out.
Would you like to take that back?
Let me be creepy guy.
I wasn't.
Would you like to take that back?
I'm going to say no.
Would you like to take that back?
I didn't like the sound of the end.
I'm going to say no.
Would you like to take that back?
Unless this ends in an S.
Would you like
All right, I'll throw it back.
Yeah.
Right. Would you like to take that back?
I'll throw it back.
By the way, you don't throw it back. You take it back. But okay.
Put that in the file.
Put that in the next
file. All right. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show for Monday. The song that the band Phoenix has already sold for a Cadillac television commercial. Coming up next here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Top 10 movies at the box office, what we do every Monday morning. So you can see who made a lot of money in the movie world this weekend. Avatar, number one. Yet again, in its fourth week, it made $48.5 million. That's $48.5 million, people.
Yeah.
What are we up to now, Ralph? Do you know?
Let me see here. Domestically here in the U.S., $429 million in 4 weeks.
Wow.
Over $1 billion worldwide.
It was a theater I was at. There was a guy trying to steal those glasses because, you know, when you walk out of the 3D, you hand them back.
Right.
Right.
This guy wanted to keep them. And he was fighting him, and they were like, sir, just, the rule is, it says here, we have a sign, just put and I was thinking.
Do they say Avatar on them or something? Is it like some souvenir
value to it? I think so. I think just black 3D glasses.
Maybe he just needed sunglasses. He didn't go out in the sun.
I can't imagine why he needed those so badly.
Maybe he would like to see the real world in 3D.
Well, could be. I don't know. He was arguing very vehemently, though. He wanted those 3D glasses.
Very strange. Sherlock Holmes was number two at the box office. Alvin and the Chipmunks, The Squeakquel. I'll never get tired of that. That's always going to be so good. Squeakquel. Was third. Daybreakers, came in at number 4. It's Complicated, Leap Year, The Blind Side, Up in the Air, Youth and Revolt, and The Princess and the Frog, rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Speaking of movies, more casting news regarding the upcoming comic book movie, The Green Lantern, which, as you know, I'm very excited about.
You talk about this every show, Biz.
That's just simply not true. We haven't talked about it in months.
What was the one you were talking about last week? Oh, Captain America. Like, there's a difference.
There is a difference between Captain America and the Green Lantern. Ryan Reynolds will be playing the Green Lantern in the upcoming film. They've just cast his romantic opposite, Blake Lively.
All right.
Will be playing Carol Ferris.
Hmm.
Who, of course, is the Green Lantern's romantic interest in the comic books. You don't know Carol Ferris.
No.
She runs Ferris Aircraft.
All right.
Which is the company that Hal Jordan, the Green Lantern, worked for her father as a test pilot.
I just don't care at all.
Oh, you'll care. You'll care once Hal Jordan is slinging that ring.
Slinging the ring?
Yeah. He's got a magic power ring where he's able to create things with his ring, so that's what he call it. You know, ring slinging.
Yeah, I'd rather die.
You're going to love it. You're going to say, oh, I'm so glad you talked about that because that movie's so good.
In a year when it comes out, Kevin's going to remember this conversation?
I'm going to keep the 3D glasses. That's what
oh, my God. Who the hell cares?
Speaking of Avatar, James Cameron has a new film in the works.
Heck.
Variety says he has optioned a book called The Last Train from Hiroshima. Which was a great monkey song, too, by the way. I don't know if you ever heard that, but it's awesome. Davy Jones on the tambourine.
I just heard about this book.
Okay.
The author was interviewed. It's pretty gross.
It's about the survivors from the nuclear attack on Hiroshima back in World War II.
But were they all injured and on death's door?
And a lot of them.
Well, the radiation, did a number on that, the populace there. And apparently James Cameron is considering making a movie about that incident. Oh, hope it's in 3D.
It's a comedy.
Be awesome.
Yeah.
So that's his next piece of work.
Scientists, British and American, have made the atomic bomb at last. The first one was dropped on a Japanese city this morning. It was designed for a detonation equal to 20,000 tons of high explosives.
Thought you might need the World War II news report.
Absolutely. That was riveting.
There is not a piece of tape that exists that Bean does not have.
True.
And won't play, more importantly.
Good point.
And Lost fans, you can relax. President Obama has decided he will not be delivering his State of the Union address on the same night that the final season of Lost debuts.
No kidding.
See, that's why he rules. In situations like this where he goes, look, I'm going to say I know it's important to you and I'll change my schedule. That just never happens, it seems like, with presidents.
Yeah. Of course, the original scheduling had Lost fans in a snit. I don't know if you saw the Facebook group called Americans Against the State of the Union on the same night as Lost group or not.
That's a specific group.
It actually was on Facebook. They had tons of people on Twitter, of course, and Facebook and MySpace arguing and complaining about this. So the White House has shifted its scheduling. No word exactly on when it will be, but we know it won't be February 2nd because that is the Lost premiere, February 2nd.
They should just do it on a Sunday afternoon or something where there's nothing else on that we care about.
It's true. See, the President Obama or golf. Those would be your only
choices. Yeah, exactly.
Everybody would turn to President Obama and say, well, look at him talking about stuff.
It's more interesting than golf.
Today's celebrity birthday is Amanda Peet. Celebrates her 38th birthday today. She's just delicious. I know no one watched that show, Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip.
I did.
But
I
really liked it, and I thought she was really good in it.
I liked it, too.
Mary J. Blige is 39 years old today. Tom Rollins of the Chemical Brothers is 39 as well. Tom Dumont from No Doubt. Our buddy, guitarist for that band, is 42. Actress Kim Coles from Living Single and other projects is 48 years old today. And Alex, our producer.
Yay!
Our very own producer, Alex.
Woo!
Super whore, the girl who makes the show possible, celebrates her 16th birthday today. So we want to wish her a happy birthday.
Sweet 16. That's nice that she's just 16.
Well, she gave us plenty of warning. She gave us over the weekend. She sent us emails letting her know it was her birthday and everything. Oh. And I said, oh, good, because now I have a chance. I'll go get her something for her birthday.
Right.
And I completely forgot, and I came in empty-handed. So I feel bad.
I'm giving her
a shout-out on the air. That's got to be worth something, right?
Not really. Woo!
That's as good as a gift.
Woo! Shout-out.
Because Alex doesn't have any kind of access to being on the radio.
Who's in the neighborhood? Alex is. Woo!
I haven't sent my Christmas gift to Bean yet.
Well, that hasn't happened. Just send it back. Whatever he gives you, just send it back to him.
Okay.
That's what I did.
Yeah. All right.
There she is. There she is. Here's producer Alex.
He gets a hug for forgetting it was your birthday.
But I gave her a shout out.
All right. Right.
And I said she was 16.
No, yeah, sorry. Of course.
Wink, wink.
Doing her a real favor there.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. I wish there were a way to hit fast forward. I wish real life were more like a DVR. We could hit fast forward 1 hour to when Olivia Munn is here. Because it would smell so good in here.
It would, yes. But we'd miss the 7 o'clock hour comedy.
I would be willing to give up the 7 o'clock hour to get to Olivia Munn in the 8 o'clock hour, to tell you the truth.
But then you'll say something creepy, and then she'll...
No, not at all.
Oh, no.
All right. Kevin's got a complaint. What's the problem?
Have you heard Bad Romance by Lady Gaga?
Yes, I have.
Now, I'm not a Lady Gaga hater, like Poker Face. Okay, you know what she does? For what she does, just that poppy dance European
stuff. She does well.
She does it well.
Yeah.
But this particular song is nonsense.
Ra, ra, ah, 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 Roma, Roma, ma, Gaga, ooh la la, what's your bad romance? Ra, ra, ah, ah, Roma,
so,
Roma,
what the...
What you're saying is,
I had heard that before.
What you're saying is, hey, maybe before you go into the studio to record, go ahead and jot down some lyrics.
Ga ga la la ma 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 ra ra ra
ra ra ra ma ra ma ma ga ga ooh la la what's your bad romance?
And it goes on like that for
She said ooh la la.
She did say ooh la la.
That means something.
What does that mean?
So you're
ooh la la. That's what it means.
So your point is not a song as much as a sketch of an idea of what could one day be a song once you go back and finish it. That's your problem.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of, instead of writing lyrics, let's just put nonsense in there for half the song.
Because then you go, what does it mean?
Right,
it really doesn't mean anything.
And then those are the songs that get stuck in your head all day.
True.
So you're driving around going, da, da, ra, ra, manio. So we got an email from a listener suggesting an instant request. A Kevin and Bean instant request. We do these every once in a while where somebody comes up with a good idea, and we try to hook them up with it.
Listen up, everyone!
New instant.
Make a request.
Instant request! Kevin and Bean.
Instant request.
Believe we have Lady Gaga on the phone.
Oh.
Right now.
Awesome.
Hey.
Blah, 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 blah. Rama, humba, da, blah, limba, blah. Rakam, bunda, bunda.
And hello to you. And who's the instant who's the instant request asking for with Lady Gaga?
Well, I think you know Anthony Kiedis. These are twins separated at birth.
Seriously.
Because he just fills up his songs with nonsense, as does she.
That's right, I do.
Anthony, how did you end up with Lady Gaga? Do you guys know each other? How are you together?
Well, I was sipping some kombucha on my porch, and the sunset talked to me and told me, and I thought, what about the solstice? What about love?
We don't know what you're talking about.
What about sunflowers?
About right now. But what about the Lady Gaga question?
Wait, was that Lady Gaga or was that Anthony Kiedis? Which one was that? Lady Gaga, do you have any questions for Anthony Kiedis? And Anthony Kiedis, what is your response to that question? They are perfect together.
They really are.
Are you guys? You guys should start dating.
Oh, go ahead.
Nicely done. Thank you both for your time.
K-Rock is K-Rock U.
And it's 20 minutes after 7.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show, Rise Against, on the way. Also, the Beastie Boys coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show and the beautiful Olivia Munn next hour.
All right, here's the email that I referenced. So we're going to be looking for your calls on strange and unusual and funny and scary encounters with the homeless. No matter where you're listening, you got homeless people, and you probably encountered one or two along the way. Hey, Kevin and Bean, I had a scary but thankfully brief encounter with a homeless guy while on vacation in New York recently. It had just started pouring rain. I was walking with a friend along West 59th and 7th by Central Park when a crazy bearded homeless man ran across the road toward us, hurling profanities. Which, by the way, is my favorite kind of homeless guy. Sure. The guy that's screaming obscenities at you.
He's an entertainer as well.
What made it scarier was the fact that during this whole thing, he was wearing nothing but a pair of leopard print boxer shorts.
All right.
We proceeded to walk faster to get away from him, then turned around to see if we were being followed. But thankfully, by then, he had decided to shout at the friendly cab horses instead. Nothing says New York City like a crazy, almost naked homeless man shouting at horses in the rain.
Yeah, that is good. That's true. That's a good story. Mm-hmm.
So he's got a nice vacation memento to think about.
1-800-520-1067. We took a one-to-do call last week, and the dude said that he offered food to the bum, and the bum said, no thanks, I need the money.
Right.
That happened.
Right.
And then Psycho Mike has had many run-ins and run-overs with with bums.
Yeah. One time, bum came up and asked me for some money, and I took out my wallet and gave him a $5 bill.
Which is
pretty generous.
Most That's people nice. A buck, right?
Especially at this time in my life. I was a college student. I was living in New Jersey, and I gave him a $5 bill, and he then pulled a gun out. That was his retort.
He pulled a gun.
He revolver at me, and then I gave him the rest of my money.
Oh, he said, looks like you got more there?
That's exactly what it is.
Wow.
Those are exact
words. Really?
Said, you got a lot more money in your wallet. And then I said, oh, there you go.
Dude. Yeah.
You're an ATM machine, man.
I know.
This is what happens when you try to be nice. This is why I say never try to be nice.
I have a homeless guy right outside of the Winchell's Donuts by my house. Mm-hmm. And what I do makes no difference in his behavior. Like, I've given him money before, and he yells always, you're the man! Like, the man being the bad.
Oh.
I'm the reason.
Like holding him down.
I'm the reason
like
he's.
The devil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then I would bring him, one time I brought him out donuts. He said, mm-hmm. Thank you. You're the man! He yells that to me no matter what happens.
Are you sure he's not saying you're the man?
He says it with a lot of hate.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's really, okay. I'm the poor guy. I've got my foot right on his neck,
all right.
Basically.
Okay.
And I don't know what to do. I gave him money. I didn't give him money. I gave him donuts. Oh, I'm always the man. I'm
next
not the
time,
man.
Well, next time, put
you
your
are
foot
just
on his neck.
Man.
I am not the man, is what I'm saying. So 1-800-520-1067 is the phone number. If you have had a run-in with homeless or beggars, let's begin with Justin. Hi, Justin.
Hi, how you doing?
Very good, thanks.
Good.
I was on the subway in New York City, and this African-American homeless lady came onto the subway car and started singing, if you want my body and you think I'm sick,
oh.
Come on, baby, let me know.
No.
She had no teeth and was raggedy. And
all right. But was she in her own world and just singing that song, or do you think she was giving you that message?
She was giving everybody that message.
So she meant it.
Wow.
All right.
She's
me and my roommates that played water polo at Queens College were out there. And
how was she?
she said it was hilarious. We have not laughed as hard as we did ever.
How was she?
But she was raggedy as it gets.
I'm saying, how was she?
Right.
Because no teeth.
Yeah. Oh, Kevin, come on. The
what?
Poor woman.
What?
The poor woman can't afford a dentist. It wasn't like that. Come on.
What?
Thank you for the call. Let's go to Zach now. He's on line 6, 1-800-520-1067. Strange, unusual, funny, scary. What was your encounter with the homeless? That's what we're looking for here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Zach, what happened to you?
Me and my friends were on a road trip in San Francisco, and we were skating through downtown San Fran. And a homeless guy grabbed me and said, you want to have sex with my wife? Then he pulled me over to his wife and he said, I'll pay you if I could watch her.
Okay, wait. So there was two homeless people and you.
Yeah.
And the dude wanted you to have sex with his homeless wife.
Yes.
Yeah. Look, homeless people like threesomes too.
Well, I guess, but
did you do it?
No.
Who was paying, who was paying who for this?
That's a good question.
Were you going to pay them, or were they going to pay you?
They were going to pay me.
No,
I don't know how.
What kind of homeless people are offering people money?
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's crazy. Weird.
I guess if you get the chance to do the wobbly H, you got to do it at least once. I mean, I guess that's what they were looking at.
Give it a shot.
Yeah. Didn't somebody put their hands on your girl, too?
Yeah. Not only months after having the gun pulled on me, I was walking home from dinner with the girl I was dating at that time, and a homeless guy came up and asked me for money, and I gave him some. And after that, he started to, like, kind of grope my girlfriend at the time and
was
mumbling. Yeah, she's attractive, mm-hmm. and I didn't know what to do. I got scared, so I just punched him right in the head.
That was your answer?
Yeah, I totally sucker punched him. Did you say,
take your hands off, don't touch her,
would you mind backing off? It was like an impulse reaction. I didn't know what to do because it was really scary. I mean, he was like putting his arms around her, and he was like...
Yeah, that's a little over the line.
Right. I didn't know what to do, so I just drilled him.
I like sucker punches, the only thing that comes to his mind. I like that.
And then ran without her. I just like I hit him and ran.
Without the girl.
Yeah, and then I was like, oh, I better go get her. I can't move back. And then...
By the way, having worked with Mike for a number of years, that's how he settles most uncomfortable situations. He just hits you in the head and runs. Here's another one, by the way, another New York story. Thanks to Kevin and Bean listener Paul. I was approached by a 6'4" tall homeless guy. He was nice enough, or so it seemed, so I told him I wouldn't give him money, but I'd buy him a slice of pizza. I walked with him to the nearest pizza stand and I bought him a slice. As we were leaving, he planted a huge kiss on me. My friends found it amusing.
Well, that was just a thanks.
Yeah, it was a happy ending right there. But he probably didn't wake up that day expecting to be making out with a homeless guy by the end of the day. But you don't see that coming.
All right, let's go to Cindy. Hi, Cindy.
Hi. Yep. Working in downtown LA with a partner, and we're going into a business. We hear this screaming noise, and this woman's hollering about Jesus and whatnot. We get out there. She's yelling at a dog. She's talking about Jesus has given her authority to smite the devil, and she's pointing her fingers at the dog like it's a gun.
Should have given her a job.
Or rather a gun.
Rather than the power to...
We get into the car to take off, and she says... Jesus has given me authority to smite thee too, and reaches into her pocket like she's going to pull out something. Yeah. And we see something shiny, we just hit the gas and took off. But she's like firing at the air with this air gun.
Wow.
Like, we got to go.
Yeah. Hey, we'll be seeing you later. That's a little scary.
No kidding.
That's a little scary. What percentage of people that are on the street, Bean, you probably know more than I do, what percentage do they guess are mentally ill? Versus drug problem or just lazy.
I don't know what. I mean, I think a lot of people guess. I've heard, 80% are mentally ill, but there are certainly people who dispute that. What do you think, Lisa? What have you heard?
Well, I don't know how you separate the people that are mentally ill from the people that are drug addicts after a while. I mean, I think they blend a lot. So probably 80%, though, aren't genuinely homeless as much as they're.
Just that's their way to make money?
No, I mean, what I mean by that is that they're homeless because they have those problems. It's not just that they can't get work.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, look, we're not trying. I mean, obviously, there's a serious side to this, too, but we're not really interested in that today. Thank you for the call, by the way. 1-800-520-1067. All right, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk to a listener. Please hang on, Jennifer, who got sued by a homeless guy. You don't see that very often,
what?
Right?
How do they...
He wanted $2 and she gave him $1. And that's not acceptable.
He probably had to find a homeless lawyer to take his case. Anyway, we'll take that call, Jennifer, so you hang on. 1-800-520-1067. Looking for your encounters. We'll return after this on The Kevin and Bean Show. This email comes into The Kevin and Bean Show from Jeff. While walking near my office in Glendale the other day, a young homeless guy asked me for some change. I said, hey, I don't have any money. He said, you better get busy. There's Jeff. Writing a homeless guy admonishing him for not making enough money, so he had some to share. We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. You're funny, you're strange, you're bizarre encounters with the homeless. Let's go to that Jennifer, find out about what it's like to be sued by a bum and how that happened. Hi, Jennifer. Thanks for holding on. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Jennifer.
What happened? How does a bum sue you?
He was walking by my house with his wife and or prostitute, and my dog got out and bit his wife, and he, tried to shake me down for some money.
Right.
And so we called the sheriff, and then, so he proceeds to pull out his cell phone and call his lawyer.
He has a lawyer.
Yeah.
A homeless guy?
Yeah. So a couple months later, our homeowner's insurance calls to tell us that they settled the suit, and they can't find the guy to give him his money.
Oh, how weird is that?
Best case scenario.
Yeah.
It's so weird that a homeless guy, A, would have a cell phone, and B, would have a lawyer, on retainer, ready to go.
Yeah.
Maybe his lawyer was homeless as well.
That's what I'm wondering.
You never know.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. Let's try Corey. He's on line two. Here's, again, Corey is going to prove my point of why you never do nice things for people. Hi, Corey. You're on the air.
Hi.
What happened?
I tried to give up on my dollar, and she maced me.
You handed her a dollar, and then she maced you.
Yeah.
Why?
Oh my God! That's crazy.
I don't know. Yeah. I just tried to give her a dollar, and she had a big sign: "Don't hit me. It's not my fault. I'm homeless." So I know she's homeless.
Right.
I tried to give her a dollar. She shooed it away, and I was like, "No, here, this is for you." She turns around, fiddles in her bag, pulls out mace, and maces me. So I called the cops on her.
Awesome. Wow.
And what happened? I mean, what did they do?
I don't know. I left. I was really pissed off.
She didn't. She didn't say anything throughout the course of that, like a dollar wasn't enough, or just nope. Nothing. Wow.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. Good times. Let's try Emily. Emily's on line 8 on the Kevin and Beach Show. Thanks for holding on. What happened?
Well, you know, I teach in downtown Long Beach, and downtown Long Beach has some prime homeless people.
Sure.
And so I took my third graders to the farmer's market, and they were enjoying their lunch, listening to the band playing in the amphitheater. Some of the homeless women were out there dancing, and all of a sudden one turns around and completely slashes my third graders.
Oh, they gotta
see it at some time. Come on.
Flash is good. My good. Third graders, that's where everything goes south.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. I was this is why you stay in school. This is why you don't do drugs.
That's a good lesson.
I'm guessing they weren't perky.
No.
No. All right.
Let's talk about maybe down to the knees.
Yeah.
Oh, ouch. Gosh. Well, no one wants to see that. Even little kids are scarred by that. All right, Emily, thank you very much for the call. Let's talk to Perla on line 5. Perla had what sounds like an unusual encounter with a homeless person. Hi, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
I was leaving my boyfriend's house. He was in an apartment complex. And when I was pulling out of the driveway, there was a homeless guy riding his bicycle. And he had a big bag of cans on his handlebar.
Right.
So I guess he couldn't see. So I honked at him so he would stop because there was nowhere else for me to go. And he crashed right into my car.
Nice.
And I jumped out of the car to make sure he was okay. And his handlebar had been completely dented into my car. And as he's trying to remove it, he's scratching up my whole hood.
Ouch.
And my boyfriend ran out of the apartment to see what was going on. And he told him to sit down. I'm going to call the cops because he wanted to avoid any kind of lawsuit to come back at me.
Right.
And the guy was like, well, they're not going to do anything because I don't have any money. So you guys are pretty much screwed.
Wow. That's nice. Wow.
Yeah, it was a wonderful day.
And as sad as it is, I mean, yeah, it wouldn't have done you any good to go after that person. That person didn't have anything that they could give you to fix your car, right?
Right.
Right. That's what the cops said also. But we were just trying to make sure that it was clear that I didn't hit him. He actually hit me.
Homeless guy one, Perla? Nothing.
Exactly. Thank you for the call. Let's try Jason, line 7 on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about your homeless encounters. By the way, Olivia Munn. In about 20 minutes or so right here. Hey, Jason, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, morning. How are you guys doing?
Good, thanks.
I took my family out to Chinese food, and my kids are 2 and 4. We're eating dinner, and this homeless guy walks in. He's asking everybody in the restaurant for a dollar. He goes, I need some money for food, so nobody's giving him nothing. I felt bad. I look at my kids, and I'm going to teach them a good lesson. So I get up, I go, sir, you want some food? He goes, yeah. So we go to the counter. I get him whatever he wants. I turn around, he's gone. I'm like, what the hell? I paid for the food. I walk to the table. I go, hey, where's the homeless guy? And my wife goes, he's outside. His phone rang. I go, his phone rang?
Got a cell phone?
He's on the cell phone with his buddy.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, thank you very much for the call. We have heard stories, and Lisa made a reference to this earlier today, is that there are a lot of homeless people who that's their job. And I have seen reports on the news where, you know, at the end of the day, they fold up their, hey, I'm homeless cardboard sign, and they walk around the corner, jump in their car, and drive home and sleep in their apartment.
Right.
I mean, it's you really, and I'm not trying to say that that's the case with all or even most, but you just don't know.
There was a time a while back where Kevin and I tried to do a man on the street type piece where we talked to homeless people, and it actually turned out to be too depressing. We never aired it. But one guy told us that he makes 6 figures. Now, I don't know if he has any concept of what 6 figures was, but he told Kevin and I that on the...
I stopped and talked to another guy who was played the clarinet.
Mm-hmm.
At least he was trying to earn it, kind of thing. And I asked him how much money he made, and it extrapolated out to $70,000 a year. And he was lucid and knew exactly how much money he made.
You're kidding.
70 grand.
So why did he choose that life?
Because he's making 70 grand a year.
I can't think of a worse job, frankly, than standing on a freeway off-ramp.
But
I'd much rather go somewhere and work.
Right, but if you're out late, you're partying, you're drinking, you don't want to go the next day, you don't have to work.
So yeah, I guess that's true. And there's probably very few other jobs. He didn't have a wide range of skill sets to get him into some other $70,000 a year jobs. That's for sure.
Right.
Dear Kevin and Bean, we used to have this somewhat normal-looking homeless guy who walked constantly all over the streets of Brentwood, California. He would often hang out at the local Starbucks. We talked occasionally. His name was Robert. He was always clear. Not Bob, but Robert. During an extremely cold and windy snap, I went to the Starbucks around 7 o'clock that night. Robert was sitting outside at one of the sidewalk tables. I greeted him when I walked in, and I bought him a cup of coffee and a sandwich to give to him on the way out. When I gave him the drink and the food, he smelled the coffee, then handed it back to me, admonishing, "I can't drink that. It'll keep me awake." He knows what he likes. Thank you, Elaine, for the email on that.
All right, let's go to Kyle. Hi, Kyle.
Hey, guys.
You had a bad run-in with a bum?
I didn't. It was actually a bum on bun on fight. I work out in the office in L.A., and there's a regular bum that waits out there at a Starbucks.
Right.
You know, I would usually give her a dollar. It was a woman. And one day I went to work. She wasn't there. I went to the Starbucks, and I found another guy. He asked for a dollar. And so I said, all right, I gave him the dollar. Well, the woman saw me give this man the dollar. And when she did, she walked up to the guy as I was leaving, and she smacked him in the face with a bottle of some kind.
With a bottle?
Yeah, like a beer bottle. I don't know. I guess she saw me give the money, and she picked up a bottle and walked to the guy and said, "That's my money. Give it to me."
Wow. So he was stealing her action.
Kind of, yeah. That was like her corner. I guess.
How about that? Who knew there was a
territorial?
Turf wars, man. Oh. You know, now that Ralph Garman is a godfather, we may have to send him out there and try to start settling some problems like that.
All right, let's go to Joe. He's got a really strange story. Hi, Joe.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good. Okay. What happened?
New Year's Eve this year, I go down and take the bus down to a bar with about 6 to 8 of my friends. And we're on the bus for about a minute or two, and it goes to the next stop, picks up a homeless woman who gets on, and she's real loud. And she's screaming at everybody, "Happy New Year, Happy New Year." And she's pointing at everybody, "Happy New Year to you and you." And she points to me and she goes, "And happy birthday to you." And it was my birthday.
Wow.
I was like,
what's that about?
You were talking about it? She overheard?
No. The first thing she did when she got on the bus.
Wow.
Screaming happy. Didn't say a word. Nobody said a word to her. She looked right at me. And so I asked her and I said, "How did you know it was my birthday?" And all my friends are kind of bewildered. And she goes, "I don't know. Must be some type of spiritual connection between you and I."
Wow.
Did you hit that?
Wow.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a personal question? Were you adopted when you were a kid? Maybe this was your mom? Maybe.
Maybe it was no accident. She got on that bus with you.
There's a possibility she was trying to track you down, saw you on the bus.
She was 20 years older than me, so it might have been that.
Might have worked.
Might have been. There you, Kevin, good job. All you solved that one. Well done.
One more. Let's go to Holly. Hi, Holly.
Yes.
Hello.
This is what you want to happen when you encounter a bum.
Yeah, it was wonderful. My first time for my job, a lot of times I have to go to downtown L.A. to the toy and fashion district to pick up stuff.
Right.
And it was my first time out. I had a little teenage assistant with me. We're both like little girls. And so I parked my car at meter parking, and a few bums were standing around, and one came up to me and goes, "Hey, I'll watch your car." I'm like, okay.
Wait, want your car?
To watch my car.
Oh, watch it, okay.
Watch, because we had to go just a few stores down to pick up the stuff we needed.
Right.
So I only had really large bills on me, you know, we buy a lot of stuff, and I had change. So most of it I put in the meter, so I only had 50 cents in my pocket. So I gave it to him, and, like, he turned around and grumbled and cursed at me, and me and my little buddy were like, "Okay, let's hurry." So we got our stuff, we came back, and he was really close to my car, and then when I went to go around to get into my door, he turned around and he urinated on my foot.
He peed on you.
That's the best. Cried. I didn't know what to do. I just started.
Oh my God.
You're going to feel like you got your 50 cents worth?
I have to go like twice a month, but it's never happened again. But I'm totally paranoid and afraid. One comes near me, I start.
Don't be paranoid. Now it's your turn to mark your territory.
Yeah.
Find somebody and let it rip.
Pop a squad on him.
Oh! Yes, good work. Will. Thank you. K-Rock is K-R-O-Q.
A
little late.
Oh.
Nice.
And it is 7:55.
She is on the cover of the January 2010 issue of Maxim magazine, and she is in our studio coming up next. The beautiful Olivia Munn will be joining us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for Monday. What's happening?
Movies. box office.
Mm-hmm.
Weekend.
No complete sentences today?
Big.
Boycotting verbs?
Avatar. Hit. 48.
Million?
Yes.
This weekend alone, wow.
Two. Holmes. 16. Squeakle. Third. Daybreakers. Four.
Okay.
Five. Complicated. Six. Leap. Seven. Blind. Eight. Air. Nine. Youth. 10. Princess. That's my new... style. You like that? Is it working at all? You like it? The abbreviated,
for doing
punctuated guy?
AM Sports. Jim Rome. Yeah, it's perfect.
No way.
Avatar fans feeling you!
Or him, yeah. Sure.
Speaking of movies, I mentioned the fact earlier today that Blake Lively has picked up the female co-starring role with Ryan Reynolds in the new Green Lantern movie. Ryan Reynolds better watch his butt. Apparently someone's got it out for his wife. Entertainment Weekly magazine talked to Liev Schreiber, who was co-starring with, what's her name? Scarlett Johansson on Broadway in a new production called A View from a Bridge, a new production of that play. It's not a new play. And apparently he's quite smitten with her. Liev Schreiber said he was blown away by her.
Really?
Natural talent.
Talents.
And he said he's got a little bit of a crush. A little crush on her.
Right. Who could blame him?
I haven't seen the play in New York. But I can't imagine that Scarlett Johansson is blowing anyone away with her acting talent on stage.
No, nor can I.
That's not what
especially Liev Schreiber, who is a really, really good actor.
Is he? Or are you joking?
No, he's a brilliant, brilliant actor. Oh, he is. Liev Schreiber, yeah. You've seen him.
Yeah, I'm sure I have.
No, you have. I'm telling you.
Okay,
you have.
I don't care, but go ahead.
You know who he is?
No.
You remember Defiance with Daniel Craig about the Jews living in the
woods?
In the woods. The guy who played his brother.
Ah.
The one they were constantly vying for sort of control of. Of their little band of rebels there.
He's great.
And he's also, he was in CSI for a while, and he was in the most recent Wolverine movie, so. But he's a very talented actor, and, yeah.
Kevin, you sure you're not thinking of Joaquin Phoenix?
How dare you.
Okay. Katy Perry says she isn't marrying Russell Brand for his money. It's for his sharp wit, she says.
She has more than him, probably, right?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
She says that he is so funny.
He is funny. I agree.
I got to tell you, though, we've seen him do the MTV Awards many times. Twice or three times, right?
Twice, I think.
In my opinion, horrible.
Not good.
Yes. Just yelling, not funny, yelling, and then not funny, and then more yelling.
He didn't have much success in those particular cases.
Zero. Mm-hmm. But when he came into the studio, completely different person.
Yeah.
Personable. All the girls were smitten with him.
He's awesome. Mm-hmm.
It's a whole different thing. I don't know how.
If you get a chance, get see his stand-up if you can. I'm sure there must be DVDs.
Okay.
I've seen specials
or YouTube
on
or whatever.
BBC America. He is really good at his stand-up. Yeah. Yeah. Very funny. And apparently, you know, I said, make him laugh, make him breakfast.
Sure.
And
right.
Katy Perry was smitten. She said he is so sharp-witted that he can slay anybody with his words and never needs to brawl to fight. Because he just cuts him down with his rapier-sharp wit.
Okay.
He's like Cyrano de Bergerac. Look up Cyrano de Bergerac. And lastly, Taylor Lautner. Looks like he's bouncing back from his relationship with Taylor Swift by rekindling a romance he had with another girl, Selena Gomez.
Look at him.
Woof.
Apparently, the star of Wizards of Waverly Place went out with Taylor for a while, and now that he is out of a relationship with Taylor Swift, he's back together again with her.
How,
says the rumor.
How old is Selena Gomez?
I do not know.
Not is, old enough.
I'm asking under 18, above 18.
I think she's under 18. Yes.
Yeah. I think she is by a little bit, yeah.
So one day she will be very hot.
Yes.
But isn't Taylor only 17 or 18 as well? I mean, they're pretty close in age, right?
I don't know how old. 21, 20 or something, right?
20, yeah, right.
Would she be dating a guy who's 17?
If he's Taylor Lautner, maybe.
Yeah.
Lisa would date Taylor Lautner. Are you kidding me?
Anyone here would. Well, female.
I wouldn't.
I know you're a room full of dudes, right?
I hate the females.
I think it's a good match because Taylor, of course, played a werewolf, and Selena looks hairy to me. Looks like a hairy broad.
So they have that in common?
Yeah. So they could, like, you know, groom each other in the woods.
Glendale?
Maybe she could play one of those talking dogs in the next Twilight movie.
They're
if she
wolves.
gets in with Taylor Lautner.
He can pick the fleas off her or whatever they do, you know?
Selena Gomez was born July 1992.
92.
So that, right. So that makes
17,
her
17, 18, somewhere.
Almost 18.
Almost
she'll
18.
Be 18 this
Couple
year.
Months, yeah.
Sometime this year right. She'll be 18.
So she's about to get hot.
But she's already hairy, trust me.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I'm getting the sense she's just hairy.
Yeah. And Taylor Lautner, February of 92. So he'll be 18 next month.
Soon.
Okay. Great.
We learned that lesson from that chick from High School Musical.
That's right. You can always tell when they got their sporting.
Oh, yeah.
When their hair shoot, if you will. Today's celebrity birthday is Naomi Judd, country singer. She is the wife of Ashley and Winona Judd.
The wife?
No, I think she's their mom.
That's what you think.
They're married?
I'm here to break the story.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a better story.
I met mom. 64 years old today. Tom Dumont of No Doubt is 42 years old. Mary J. Blige is 39. Amanda Peet celebrates her 38th birthday. And our very own producer, the lovely Miss Alex, celebrates her birthday as well today. And we want to wish her all the best.
I'm afraid we did too much for her birthday.
She's still recovering in the other room.
That is my fear.
She's reeling from all the big plans for the big birthday show for Alex.
Hey, we could call QVC, but we've pretty much already blown the budget for 2010 on Lisa's gift.
On Lisa's little talking dog that won't work.
That she already threw away.
That she broke already.
Poor thing.
Lisa broke the talking dog.
Break
you
it.
Did. Did you break the panel where the batteries go? So how did you get it open?
I pried it open.
You broke it open.
She broke it.
You broke it open.
Did you put it down
there? But you broke it open, I'm saying.
Quality of life. You got to think quality of life. Did you have to put it down?
Puppy Lake.
She won't put the real dogs down that she should. You think she's going to put a mechanical dog down? I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 8 minutes after 8 o'clock.
I just want to say up front, Lisa May, it's been great working with you.
Oh,
it's been great.
No, I'm saying
we've had a lot of fun with Lisa. I've enjoyed it, but it's time to move over a chair. That's all I'm saying. Ladies and gentlemen, the beautiful Olivia Munn has joined us here in studio on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Olivia.
Hi, Olivia. Happy New Year to
you,
my dear.
Happy New Year.
Olivia is, without a doubt, the busiest person on the planet. I don't know how she survives. How much sleep do you get a night, Olivia?
Last night I got 3 hours, and the night before. I think I have an ulcer.
Well, I know why.
I'm pretty sure. That's what's surprising me right now, is that, like usually I think I can go, and then I'm like, is it bad when it just burns 24/7?
No, that's a good sign.
Okay. Yeah,
that's a very healthy sign.
Everything right.
I used to follow you on Twitter, and then I got worn out just reading your schedule.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I just go, wow, I couldn't do half of that.
Yeah, most of it's just made up to make me look more important than I am.
Okay.
Right. Usually I'm sitting at home watching The Locator.
But literally, there was one day last week where you said, and I'm glad we have you in because Kevin brings up a good point. It's exhausting to follow you. Did you really have 8 meetings in one day, were you just making that up? Because
that
how do you
Friday.
Have 8? How can there be enough things going on in anyone's life that require 8? The President of the United States doesn't have 8 meetings in a day.
It literally was kept getting more packed and more packed. And it was just, I started at 7 a.m. and I went all day long until like 8, 9 p.m.
Was it one topic, one company, or just all different things?
Oh, no, it was all over. You're driving all over the place, everywhere. Like from Burbank to the Valley to Santa Monica back to Burbank.
Are you able to say, pretty busy day, maybe could we reschedule?
Yeah, it's hard for me to say that because I'm like, well, I can do that meeting. I can totally do that. It's really hard. Then I pack it way too much. And then as like last minute on Friday, they're like, we have a meeting, like an audition on Saturday, actually, for, you know, it was this NBC audition. So they go in on Saturday, which is very unusual. And so I go home late and I'm like, I was going to go out and just have dinner with friends, but I couldn't go home late, study all my lines, get up. And I'm at the audition. It's like, no one's there. It's like...
Just you?
They have the day wrong?
Wait. There was no people for you to audition for?
The door was locked. I was there for half an hour. For half an hour, just sitting there. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what to do.
Why did you wait a half hour?
Well, because I would have felt bad if I left. Because I have
blown the audition, right?
Yeah. Well, because I have an insane amount of guilt that follows me through my whole life. Just like every day, I'm like, well, I would hate to feel like that. I left in 15 minutes. If I would have waited 15 minutes.
Then you would have thought, 20th minute the guy comes and everything's ready. Oh, I would love to see the security footage of that, wouldn't you? To see you like outing and seething.
This is weird. I'm just scratching your head a little bit. Then you start getting mad. Come on. It's been 20 minutes. What's going on?
Then I just cry and start cutting.
Olivia, by the way, besides being a very close friend of the Kevin and Bean Show, is the co-host of Attack of the Show on G4, which is a huge rating sensation weeknights at 7. She also is on the cover of the January 2010 issue of Maxim magazine, which may be the finest thing you've ever done, Olivia, if I may be so bold.
Thank you.
Here's what I thought, and I hope you're not insulted by this, but I'm holding the Maxim cover. Yes. I thought, super cute, of course, great body and a bikini, double amputee. She's pretty hot for a double amputee because she's sitting on the edge of a pool, and from the knees down, her legs disappear.
No one has ever said that, and that is so
no
true.
No lower legs.
I'm looking at it, and you're right. My stump, my lovely little stump.
Amputee. I don't know. That was my first thought, and then I thought, well, maybe I shouldn't say anything.
That is so true. I'm actually really self-conscious about my shins, and it's in my contract that no one can show my shins.
Well, from all those years, you were catcher for the Mets.
It was really hard.
What goes through your mind, and I know this sounds like a dumb question, but you don't feel the least bit sexy when you're at a photo shoot like that with the makeup and the hair and the lights and the camera and all that? I mean, how do you fake the funk?
Or do you?
Well, this one is different. This Maxim one, there's a photographer named Miko Lim who's yes, exactly. Unbelievable. And he just has two little cameras, like handheld cameras. No one goes with you. There's no lights. It's all natural lighting. We just go into, like, there are a lot of them in the inside. We're inside, like, a bedroom. And he makes everyone leave, and it's just you and the photographer.
Are you sure that he works for Maxim?
Is there any film in that camera?
Something with the camera. That sounds odd.
So, okay, there was a really, like, it was super low-key, and everyone was just, I was so excited to be doing it. And, you know, a really funny story I'll tell you guys is that, they had offered me different spreads throughout, like, the year, actually. Mm-hmm. And I kept saying no, not because I didn't think that being in Maxim was great and that doing a spread was great. It's just that I had already done so many, like, sexy spreads, and then...
I just speak for a guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, do too many.
But speaking for my publicist, she's like, okay, we need to put more clothes on her. And then we thought, well, the only way to do this is, like, for the cover of Maxim. And I actually... There was this inner office email that went around that I wasn't supposed to see, and I kept turning down their, like, 5-page spreads, like, 2 or 3 times. And finally, there was this email that went out that was like, who does she think she is? No one turns down Maxim. She's not ready for the cover. And, you know, we don't know if she'll be ready for a while. And somebody showed me the email, and I was like, oh, that's disgusting. It's not going to change my mind. I still don't want to do it. But just rude to, like, you know, and then before you know it, a couple months later, they offered me the cover. Ah. And so now I'm going to frame the cover and that letter.
That's
side
perfect.
By side.
There you go.
Yeah, I like it.
So I was excited to do the cover.
Now, have you been able to continue to do your television show every day? Because it seems like with all the traveling, I know you've done a lot of stuff in other parts of the country as well.
I can answer that. She's on about a day to two a week.
No, I get on as much as I can. I'll be there.
Are you too
week.
Big for cable is what I'm asking at this point, I guess.
No way. I love cable. It's great. I can do what I want and say what I want. It's fantastic. And then my show's live, so it's great because you can go on and do it and leave.
Oh, that's the best.
As long as you're in town, right? But as long as so I'm often you're not.
Yeah, but then when I'm in town, I do it. And then when I'm not in town, I'm usually just hanging out, getting facials.
Tell me about, I didn't see the episode, I saw the photos of you as an avatar.
Oh, yeah, that's so it's like every year they do a best of Olivia special, and so this year it was like the top
Olivia of 2009 or something.
Yeah, well, or just like all the stuff that I've done from the years. And then so I'm good friends with Eva Murray, and so then we had this ongoing thing on my show. Yes. And then wait for it again. This will be a big one. we became good friends with Susan Sarandon, and so then it came with this ongoing, like, joke about Susan. And then I had Eva come on and host for me one time when I was on the East Coast.
Right.
And then we just thought, let's just do one big, like, Thelma and Louise skit.
Right.
But we didn't know how to do it right. So they put Thelma and Louise meets Avatar, and then it's basically Thelma and Louise drive off a cliff and into Avatar.
Oh. I, it, I want it, whatever the people are smoking that came up with that idea.
If you had to get the blue, the makeup, though, you had to get the avatar type makeup, though, which was so creepy looking.
Hours and hours of makeup. Yeah. And then I had to take 4 showers and I had blue on my back for like a week.
Can't reach it.
I couldn't reach it.
I'm blue.
I really couldn't.
What are you going to do?
I know. I was in bed and my friend was like, what's on your back?
You're blue.
Like I was, you know, banging a Smurf. Like a week.
Were you?
Doggy style. That's why it's all over the back.
Were you?
No, I was not.
Just asking. All right. Olivia Munn is here.
I know. Got into dead air.
Yeah, well, I was sidetracked for a minute.
Kevin was distracted.
Olivia Munn is here. Attack of the Show is on weeknights at 7 o'clock on G4. She's the Maxim cover girl on the issue that is out right now. And we'll take a quick break and come right back.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show for a Monday. You didn't have to spend the last 5 minutes like we did listening to Psycho Mike try to impress Olivia Munn, our guest in the studio. It was actually very sad and very embarrassing, I must be honest. Olivia, of course, is the co-host of Attack of the Show, weeknights at 7 on G4 on the current issue of Maxim magazine, January 2010, on newsstands now. You can see her as a double amputee. And you have a book coming out in July. You also have – is this a magazine called Hey Olivia?
Yeah, there was some people who gave like 5 people the opportunity to make their own magazine for their fans, like Kid Rock and Pharrell Williams and Russell Simmons and myself and Brett Ratner, and we all made magazines. And so mine, I actually did a photo shoot just for my fans, like a 20-page spread, and then I took Twitter questions and just kind of created a whole magazine for them, and it's called Hey Olivia, and you can get it on it's like mymag.com/Olivia Munn, I think.
Is there anything that you're not doing?
I'm hoping to create a hybrid vehicle and finish my hoverboard.
Good luck with that.
But I haven't finished that yet, so I'm not talking about it.
For Maxim, how many pictures do you take?
There's a lot of pictures. I actually
I've seen 3. Okay, that's my complaint.
No, Maxim.
How many are taken?
I think there was 8.
Were there 8? Okay.
Yeah.
How many were taken?
Hundreds.
Hundreds.
Yeah.
But you know, I do have, actually, I have some, and I'll post them today,
okay,
that the photographer sent me that weren't published that he said I could put out.
Okay.
Because they were too nipply, or what was the problem with them?
No, they just didn't pick them. I don't know why they just didn't pick them. But there's a good like 6-page spread in there, and there's another picture in the way in the back, and in the front.
In the front, too, yeah.
Yeah, there's...
All right.
There's 8.
He's found them all.
No, but I'm just saying there's hundreds.
There's hundreds. What
Someone's
do you want?
Bogarting a lot of pictures.
Well, that's why you need the Hey Olivia magazine, because it's a whole magazine of just pictures.
Now, Olivia, I know you're a big football fan. You've told us that in the past when you've come in. Do you still have a team in the race for the Super Bowl?
No. I really love college football, so Oklahoma is my team. But I've never been to the Super Bowl, and I'm pretty sure I'm going this year, like working some stuff out. But
you don't have an NFL team that you like?
No.
I got news for you. 90% of the people that are at a Super Bowl,
it's not one of their teams.
It's not one of their teams. Yeah. It's just like a client thing. You know,
I'm a big underdog fan.
So whoever's the underdog, you root for.
All right.
Did you watch any of the games this weekend?
No.
Do you watch much football?
No, I got my first house. And so I have
You're
no
growing up.
Yeah, thanks. So, but we're doing like some renovation on the inside, so I haven't had TV for a month.
That must kill you. You must hate that.
It's the worst thing ever.
Because you love TV.
Bean would literally die.
I
wouldn't do it. I'd live someplace else.
Do you go to sleep with the TV on?
I don't have a television in my bedroom. I wish I could.
That's stupid. I have.
I know.
TV
I agree.
Everywhere.
But you have a laptop, right? So you can watch whatever.
Yeah,
you want.
But I don't like to search, or I don't like buffering and all that. It's so annoying. I'd rather watch TV.
You don't have time. No time.
So
for that.
I've learned to read.
What's that?
What?
Describe that to us.
I don't even know. There's pages and
it sounds terribly boring.
I know. It's really hard for me to fall asleep without a TV. So I haven't watched anything. And I haven't watched any of my Bridezilla or Locator. Horrible TV that I watch.
Yeah.
You guys aren't going to the Super Bowl at all?
Not this year, no. No.
How come you're breaking your whole...
I went for 12 or 13 years, and it was great. But then it started... You know what it was? It was the year that it was in Detroit. I was like... Yeah, I'm not going to Detroit. Detroit blows.
Well, Detroit in January is not a fun time.
And I went there one time before when the Super Bowl was in Detroit, and it was the entire city was covered with ice, like dirt, ice and dirt mixture. And you can't walk on it, so you have to, like, scoot on your ass, like, wherever you're going, and it was just miserable.
Image of you just, like, carrying, like, just on your...
Yeah, but because I had a few drinks, I wasn't as stable as I should have been, so I just went ahead and... and then Matt Money Smith, who I was with, dropped me off at the wrong hotel on purpose because he knew how drunk I was, and mine was, like 2 miles away, so I scooted on my ass. And, I'm telling you, Detroit's not where you want to go, but Miami is one of the cities.
So, yeah. That's a bad city when Detroit can kill your Super Bowl tradition.
Right. Right. So, and anyway, the other plan was that we were going to go to the World Cup in South Africa this year. So that was going to replace the trip, and then that got canceled.
I'm sending my stepfather and my little brother there. That was their great. That was what they asked for Christmas. I was like, you guys are asking for a lot.
Yeah.
Wow. Do I want to be on your Christmas gift list? That's sweet.
Can I tell you something that you'll hate to hear?
Yes.
The reason we canceled our trip is because I have a friend who's one of the owners of the European teams, and he says the political unrest is way worse than anyone knows.
Oh.
And if you're American-looking, you could be kidnapped. And I don't know if you saw over the weekend, they have the Africa Cup of Nations.
Yes, I saw that.
One of the teams got machine-gunned in a bus.
Yeah.
Angola.
Yeah.
They were hiding under the seats for 20 minutes while machine gunners were just opening up on the bus.
But Olivia's not going to be on a team, though, or her family's not going to be on a team. I mean...
No, but he said if you look American...
Right.
Thankfully, my little brother doesn't. He looks like me, but then...
Okay, good. So he could
But then my stepfather terrorist. Is white. Is just white.
Yeah. He needs to brown it up. He needs that spray tan or something.
Remember earlier when I started saying I think I have an ulcer?
Yeah. So I didn't mean to.
Is it flaring?
I just feel
right
it
now?
Burning. I think it's turned into a bleeding ulcer now.
I didn't mean to necessarily add to that.
But that's
but I
scary.
Think they're gonna know, just like when the Olympics come to town, the government's gonna do everything they can to put the best face on
of
Johannesburg
course.
For the world. I mean, I'm sure they're gonna have a ton of security and they're gonna do everything they can to make it safe for people who
like
go.
Like China?
I'm sure they'll be fine.
Yeah, like China.
Oh, yeah. You sure they'll be fine and then...
Now you're going to worry the whole time.
No.
Now, you guys just covered CES.
Yeah, we
was
did.
Was Kevin there or were you there too?
No, Kevin went and he did field reporting as we hosted from
right.
here. It was the best.
And
I
you had
love
Chris Hardwick and then he
Chris,
was...
Yeah, Chris. Uh-huh. Chris and I stayed home. I love when somebody else does all the work and then I just stay.
Sure. Host the pieces.
Oh my
sure,
gosh.
Of course.
No, I get to be there and just toss to them.
Have you ever been to CES?
Yeah, the last few years.
Thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people.
Unbelievable.
With the porn convention right next door.
Yeah. That hasn't gone unnoticed as well. Always the same weekend.
It's a twofer. Yeah, no. It's intense out there. And I remember last year we were just kind of disappointed. We just remember going there and there's all this hype, but then nothing really.
What was the big thing? There's always something that takes over that weekend. What was it this year?
This year,
or was there one?
I don't think there really was one huge thing. I mean, there's a lot of. I remember there was a the projection thing that we always talk every year. It's projection and thinner TVs. There's
right.
like a 1-inch. TV that was really thin. But that's basically, I mean, nothing that's so unbelievable. And a lot of it's like just in theory. Like now in theory,
oh, really?
This would work.
Maybe we can make
prototype.
This happen.
Yeah.
But most of the time it's just like a step up from what they had
yeah,
last
it's like
year
smaller, faster.
Yeah. Usually we started going to CES and we would go like all day Friday. We'd go there Friday, stay there all day. Then we'd go all day Saturday. And then we realized it was all pretty much the same. So we cut out the Saturday and we would just go gamble or party or whatever on Saturday. And we would just go on Friday.
Yeah.
And then we got tired of that. So we would just like show up for an hour. And then the whole rest of the weekend was just partying. It was not going
and I don't know if it's wrong. I mean, wrong for me to say this being at G4, but I think these huge conventions are just, I mean, there's too much. I mean, there's... It could be a Friday in April and they're going to release some huge phone. That's the big news of the day. It's like to have one huge convention for everything. That's like,
yeah.
It's not that much different from last year.
Right. Right. Right.
Which is why we just
that's
why
sent
somebody there.
And then you just go to the porn thing instead.
The porn. And that's the same thing. It's the same. I mean, how many times can you see the same thing?
Have you been to the porn awards?
No.
They have the AVN award show.
Have you?
Yes. All the girls dress up like it's the Oscars. Seriously, take it that seriously. And this is going to shock you because I'm a guy and I like sex and all.
Mm-hmm.
Got so bored I left halfway through.
Oh my God.
But the one thing that stood out was there was a girl who won best
backdoor?
Yes, best backdoor.
Look
thank
at
you,
that.
Lisa.
And I know the story.
Got up to the podium and thanked her mom and dad who were in the audience.
Who were there?
Yeah!
attending the awards.
Hey, you guys, you're my inspiration.
Did she cry?
Yeah, she was like, she was crying
while they were filming it too.
What's happening right now? She's thanking her mom and dad because she won best backdoor
like,
video.
Especially you, Dad.
Oh, not you. I wouldn't know any of this. Yeah, it's a little freaky, but anyway, that's a fun weekend.
That's hilarious.
All right, Olivia Munn, I'm sorry, we're running out of time here.
I'd like to end on that,
Weeknight, 7 p.m. on G4. You can watch the Attack of the Show and the Maxim cover girl. She's out. The January 2010 issue is out now.
So, thanks, guys. Happy New Year.
To you, too.
Good to see you.
And thanks for coming in.
Thanks.
And
Olivia Munn is a very dirty girl, by the way. I like her a lot. If ever there was a show that you need to hear the off-air conversation in addition to the on-air conversation, it's that one.
Yeah.
All right. Kevin and Bean here. Very excited about this conversation.
Bean,
I've been looking forward to
all
weekend
about this
long.
Conversation.
All weekend long. Because here's my whole thing. Every once in a while, you come across something. A perfect example. When Jessica Simpson, you found out on television, thought that Chicken of the Sea was made with chickens, okay? Remember how much glee you felt for that?
Yes.
Remember how happy you were because you thought, how has someone lived her whole life at this point? She's 25 years old or whatever she was. Not knowing that tuna is a fish. It was just astounding that she was able to have missed that her whole life. Well, we had a very similar event happen right here in this room on this show on Friday, right near the end of the program, that has given me great glee over the weekend.
All right, here's the thing. I watch a lot of soccer. A lot.
Do you?
Too much. So, Bean, you tell the story of how it came down, because I don't even remember. I just remember how shocked I was.
Actually, Psycho Mike, I think, may be a better, may remember it more clearly, because he was the one who actually broke the news to you.
We were off the air, and I was talking to you guys, and I said, hey, the Portuguese government is going to vote on the idea of gay marriage today. And there was a little bit of silence, and then Kevin looks over at me and he says, I don't think that's going to go well, because Portugal strikes me as one of those really kind of macho South American countries that doesn't take too kindly to gays and is not very open-minded.
Right.
And I pause for a second.
Everyone
and
paused
I responded that
to make sure we heard what we thought we heard.
I don't agree with you, Kevin, being that Portugal is in Europe.
Yeah.
And the look on Kevin's face, it was almost like you told him that he was sitting on an elephant. He just couldn't understand how those words were coming out of your mouth because it flew in the face of everything that he knew to be true in his world.
Yeah, here's the thing. Sometimes when stuff like this comes up, you go, oh, yeah, I'm such an idiot. I knew that, blah, 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 or I heard it at some point. This was brand new to me. Like, this was the first time I ever heard it, and I was shocked that it wasn't. Shocked.
Yep. So in your mind, soccer or no soccer, and I understand the confusion because let's face it, in Brazil, they speak Portuguese.
Right.
So
exactly.
It kind of makes sense that they speak Portuguese in that part of the world. So maybe that's where Portugal. I understand why the synapses made that mistake. But it's weird to me that at your age and with your history of education and with your traveling the world, including to Europe, that
mind
no
is
point,
a steel trap, that kind of thing.
But at no point would you have seen Portugal on a map next to Spain. That's what I couldn't figure out. Or having been in Europe, would have somehow been in contact with people going to Portugal or Portugal being nearby.
Listen,
or
I got
something.
No. I mean, obviously, I have no answer for you except that I'm a dumbass. But I watch the Fox Soccer Channel, and they cover all of the best soccer leagues. They cover the Premier League in England. They cover the the La Liga in Spain. They cover all of the in Italy.
Right.
And there's never a word about Portugal, ever. Never a word about soccer in Portugal. And Portugal, has produced arguably the best player last 10 years, Ronaldo. Uh-huh. So I figured this was, I always thought Portuguese, Brazil, you never see any of the South American soccer. So I just always took for granted that since they didn't cover it on that show where they do Europe, and Portuguese and Brazil and the whole thing. I just always kind of took for granted
that
it
must be down there somewhere.
Must be down there somewhere. Right. So then I went home.
That's what she said.
So then I went home just to check, just to see how stupid I am. I just wanted to get a barometer.
Okay.
Right.
And I asked my 11-year-old daughter where Portugal was, and she said, oh, next to Spain.
Now, like, oh, man.
When you were 11, yeah. you probably would have known that also. I would imagine, because it would have been fairly fresh in your mind having studied geography, which you have to when you're 11. But there's no real reason to know about Portugal, I guess, beyond that once you get out of school, unless you, you know, somehow end up in Portugal.
I really can't tell you. I really don't have anything to say except for I'm a dumbass.
But you went to Spain,
but doesn't every – doesn't – yeah, but that – when I was
but
in
if you
Spain,
go to Spain, I mean, look, if people from around the world come to the United States, they pretty much know that it's between Canada and Mexico.
Right,
and it kind of goes with the territory. If you're in Spain,
right.
I don't know how you don't know the rest of the Iberian Peninsula is Portugal.
I have an answer for that. When I was in Spain, we went for the Olympics, the Summer Olympics,
mm-hmm.
and it was sponsored by Coca-Cola, and they had one of those giant cruise ships. And on the top level of the giant cruise ship was a lobby that you could hang out in with all of the free food that you wanted and all of the free drinks that you could drink.
Oh.
As many as you could put down. So I went with another guy, and we – I don't remember a minute of that trip. I mean, I really – that trip – the only thing I remember is that my friend, we were on mopeds, which is a terrible idea in a city that you don't know. And it was 3 a.m, and there was a hooker on the corner, super hot looking chick. And he turned and was looking, and ran his moped into a curb and just flew head first, Superman style, right?
Oh.
And that was one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. That's my memory of that whole week.
That's
that.
It?
Yeah. So I wasn't
that's
really
what you got
studying.
Out of a week
Did
in Spain.
Did you actually see any Olympic events?
Yes, but I don't remember
but
them.
But you don't remember anything.
I mean, it was fun and all, but it's not like I sat around and went, I wonder what the countries are next door.
You didn't learn much about that country is what you're saying.
I'm saying, look, I'm a dumbass. There's no defense. It's just there are a couple of reasons why it's a blind spot. Was a blind spot. And it's embarrassing.
I just think that maybe you got the right idea. The world would be a better place if Portugal was in South America like you think it should be.
Well, I think I should run the world, and when I do, it's going to be that way. Yeah, definitely.
Mr. Geography, he knows where all the countries are. Mr. Geography, when he's around, you don't need a map.
It's Mr.
Geography.
And by the way, weren't we mocking Miss Cleo because she didn't know where cities were?
Yes.
Yes. She didn't know what state major cities are in.
This
That's
is
right.
a whole
yes.
country.
You lost Portugal, Kevin.
Man.
Let's not get crazy, Lisa.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph, have you met Mr. Geography? Have you met my friend Mr. Geography?
I sure have.
Yeah. Time for the showbiz beat. What's going on?
The guy walks around with a globe under his arm. You have to expect that he knows stuff.
He knows all the countries and where they are.
Got an atlas,
know everything.
On the other hand.
Can know everything.
No one's asking to know everything. How about something? Let's start there.
I specialize really in nothing.
but who knew? You have that market cornered. It's like a monopoly. It's like it should be antitrust regulation brought against you.
And by the way, before nothing. I get all the emails, because everybody on the instant message is going, oh, Ronaldo's Brazilian. F you all. Cristiano Ronaldo's the new Ronaldo. F you all. You're dumb.
It's confused between which Ronaldo you're talking
there
about.
There wasn't 80s and 90s Ronaldo. That was the best in the world.
Right.
Scored more goals than anybody else in the World Cup.
Now he was Cristiano. Brazilian. The guy you're talking yes. about is yeah. Portuguese, though.
Yes. That's what you're saying. So everyone can eat a bag.
And then, of course,
and Portugal
was...
is on what continent?
I believe it's Antarctica. I'm not sure.
And then there was Ronaldo's Dance a Go-Go in the 60s, which is a very popular club in Los Angeles.
I don't know anything about that.
Yeah.
I think maybe that may have been someone else.
Yeah. All right, before I get to the showbiz news, I have... Once again, tickets to give away. I've been giving away a lot of movie tickets lately. And it's fun. I like doing this. I feel like Santa. A cinematic Santa.
True.
This is for a movie called Legion.
Oh,
this is when
wait.
The angels come back to Earth to start kicking ass. There's a revolt.
So it's good.
And I saw a big chunk of this at Comic-Con when I was there last year. They were doing their presentation for their audience, for their Q&A, and to show the movie just before we did District 9.
Uh-huh.
So we're all backstage watching, and they showed us up on the screen. And everybody's jaw just went slack. It
really?
Looks amazing.
Oh, cool. Can't wait.
Paul Bettany looks terrific in this film. Doug Jones is in it. Tyrese, Dennis Quaid, great cast. I've got a 4-pack of passes if you'd like to see the premiere of Legion. Thursday night, January the 21st at the Arclight in Hollywood, California. If you'd like to go with three of your friends, 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. 5 lucky winners. We've got a 4-pack of passes to the premiere of Legion. Which looks spooky as hell, especially that old broad in the diner. Have you seen
yes.
that? Like, well, too bad because the end is coming. Like, what? And she's climbing on the ceiling and stuff.
That looks so cool.
The only thing creepier me than little kids in horror movies are old people in horror movies who become like spider creatures. Yeah. Not that it happens all that often, but still.
But when it does, you don't like it.
You don't like it. Yeah. I don't like it one bit. Let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? Michael Bublé and his girlfriend, Argentinian actress Luisana Lorelai Lopetado de la Torre.
Oh, yeah.
You can tell she's hot just by the name.
She is smoking hot.
Yeah.
They are getting married, according to People magazine. He proposed to her over the holidays, apparently. And I can't blame him. Where's Argentina? Do you know where
Argentina?
Where's Argentina?
That would be in South America.
All right, there we go. See? Yeah.
That ain't next to Portugal.
Near Portugal. It's in the area.
Speaking of married, Sunday was the funeral for late socialite Casey Johnson. 30-year-old actress slash debutante slash model slash slacker was buried Sunday in New Jersey. Her fiance, Tila Tequila, did not attend.
What?
Oddly enough.
After all of that.
But I thought she was devastated. I thought she was in grief and mourning and couldn't live without tweeting
Twitter,
next to her in bed. And
on the Facebook.
Crying.
Oh, I'm so
climbing trees
hurt.
With grief.
She was climbing trees.
Climbing trees with grief. That's how grief-stricken she was.
Mm.
Yeah.
I wonder if Casey Johnson's family would not allow her to attend. I wonder if it was that kind of deal.
I don't know.
Because you don't put up with her nonsense if you don't have to, right?
No, that's true.
See Tila's latest Twitter, by the way, Friday?
No.
Going to doctor's appointment in 5 hours. Eek. Pregnancy news soon. Stay tuned. XOXO. So I guess she's over the whole... death of my fiance grieving thing, and now she's moving on to fake pregnancy rumors.
Yeah, because that's a pretty quick transition.
She heals quickly, is what I'm saying.
I love that she's on her blog, she's posting photos of herself by herself sitting in bed crying. She's taking pictures of herself crying to post.
Here's me crying, and here's me crying.
In December, by the way, Tila Tequila claimed she was pregnant carrying a baby for her brother and his wife, which also
how'd that
not
work
true.
Out?
That was not true as
yeah,
well.
No.
So. Ralph, did you notice that the rest of the Johnson family, Casey Johnson's family, was all at the Jets Bengals game on Saturday?
Yeah,
they're taking this weekend hard, burying their daughter and all.
Look, money can't buy you class, I've always said.
Yeah,
and I don't think that family's got a bunch of it. Everyone's talking about Jay Leno.
What's he saying, Ralph? What is he saying specifically?
The 10 o'clock Jay Leno show experiment. Is a failure. NBC President Jeff Gaspin told reporters yesterday that Jay will be gone from primetime by the time the Olympics begin on February 12th. What will happen after that is anyone's guess, but here's NBC's plan. Move Jay to 11:35 for a half an hour, followed by an hour of The Tonight Show with Conan O'Brien at 12:05. Then, Late Night with Jimmy Fallon at 1:05.
Okay.
What will that do to... Late night with Carson Daly? That will bump him off the schedule.
It'll change it to the morning show.
He won't have a show anymore.
Yeah.
Dude's going to have to go back to local radio the way his career's going.
He wouldn't fall that far.
He wouldn't go that far.
No one would make that mistake.
No.
So we're just waiting to hear what Conan O'Brien says, basically. Apparently Jay's signed off. Conan has not yet responded to the plan. So we'll have to wait.
What would you do, Ralph, if you were in his shoes?
I would... take the cash, shut up, and do my show. That's what I would do.
Would you?
Yeah.
Not Leno, but Conan?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're Conan, you could probably go to Fox and go on 11:30.
Yeah.
You wouldn't
so
do
for
that.
A half an hour?
For more money.
For a half an hour, I'm going to jump ship?
I don't know. I guess he'd get paid more money, don't you?
For how long? The Tonight Show is a job you can have pretty much as long as you want it, once you got
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
Fox has a horrible track record with late night programming.
Arsenio. True. How do you say that?
The people love him.
Joan Rivers, yeah. Magic Johnson,
yeah.
Chevy Chase.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this is their list of people who tried to do late night over at Fox. Not a great success record.
That's true.
Tonight Show is the Tonight Show, no matter what version. And listen, this Leno thing may last for a couple of years, this half-hour thing. It's not going to last that long. I don't think it's going to be any more successful at 11:30 than it was at 11, quite frank, at 10. And eventually it'll disappear, and they'll move the Tonight Show back to its proper time slot. And Conan O'Brien will have a very long, healthy run with the Tonight Show.
But when Jay Leno was at 11:30, he destroyed.
He always beat. He always won
he
his
beat
time
Letterman.
Slot. He's won, not always destroyed, but he won the time slot.
Regularly.
Yes. Yeah. And a lot of that was habitual viewing. You know? The Tonight Show was the late night show of choice for most of America at that time. I don't think it necessarily is the case anymore. You have to remember, you know, he picked up the torch from Johnny Carson, who was the only guy who had that slot for a long time.
He had that slot for 75 years.
Almost.
A lot of people
74. Don't know. 74. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens. But it's funny. They had the TV Critics Association yesterday, and the association press tour where they bring out all the people talking about the new shows and the new programming stuff.
Why would they announce this then until just afterwards?
It was yesterday at the TV Critics, this weekend.
That they brought it up.
Press tour. It was this weekend, yeah. So why would they bring it up?
I'm thinking if I'm NBC, I would wait until that's over so we don't have to answer 7 billion questions about that because it's that this weekend.
Everyone,
they knew
once the story broke, once the rumors started, that was all people were asking. Okay, so why not address it, you know?
I got you.
But Jerry Seinfeld was there because he's got a new show on NBC called The Marriage Ref.
He does?
Yes. Oh. He's the executive producer of the show.
Is he wearing a bee costume?
And so they asked him about it. You want to put that in the file?
Yeah. Come on. That was a recent movie.
It was an animated film that he did the voice
from 2 years ago.
He's probably no better for the Seinfeld show, I would think.
Right.
Than for doing a voice in
the
movie.
You guys just hold it against me if I ever make a reference that's not 10 years old.
I don't know.
It's a mark against me.
I don't know.
All right. It wasn't that good. I'm not. All right. Listen.
Anyway, he's defending NBC, believe it or not. What did the network do to Conan? He asked, when asked the question about the situation on Sunday. I don't think anyone's
preventing... The situation was there?
I don't think anyone's preventing people from watching Conan. Wow. Once they give you the cameras, it's up to you. You can't blame NBC for having to move some things around. I hope Conan stays. I think he's terrific. But there are no rules in show business, and there's no refs.
There aren't?
Nope.
You know what I'd like to say? Congratulations to NBC for trying something so kind of outrageous at the time. At least they tried to do something new.
But it wasn't
failed,
like,
okay.
It wasn't out of a sense of originality
maybe
or
not.
Trying to put something good on television, Kevin. It was them trying to be cost-cutting bean counters and say, this is the cheapest programming
probably.
We can put on
probably.
10 o'clock. So I'm glad it failed because it shows you that you can't run a network like you can an accounting firm. It just doesn't work that way. They screwed over Southland, which was a great television show that they bumped off. Now it's going to be on TNT this week, Tuesday night. Tomorrow night, I believe, it debuts over there. They've screwed out a lot of quality programming they could have had on that network, and now they got nothing. They don't have the Leno show, which was a bad idea, and everyone said from the outset, and now they've got 5 gaping holes in their schedule that they're going to fill with God knows what.
I rented that over the weekend, by the way.
Gaping holes in their schedule?
Very good.
So I think they got what they deserved.
All right.
So there.
All right.
Take a look at the top 10. Oh, geez, I didn't even know what time it was. I'm sorry. I apologize. I had no idea we were so long-winded. If you want to know what the top 10 movies at the box office were this weekend, come back in an hour or half an hour.
Avatar, all 10.
Avatar,
that's
yeah.
That's it.
That's it. Top 10, not top 10, celebrity birthdays. Manda Pete is 38 years old today. Mary J. Blige is 39. Tom Dumont of No Doubt is 42. Kim Coles, actress from Living Single and Other Projects, is 48 years old today. And our own producer, Alex, celebrates his birthday as well. We want to wish her a happy one. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz deep.
This is the Kevin Abincha, the Victor Fuentes remix, coming up in about 15 minutes or so here on the program. Hey, give me the end of that Baltimore Ravens game from the weekend, would you?
It's all over in Foxborough. The Ravens win it on Wild Card Weekend, 33-14.
33-14. Listen to this, by the way. 19-point loss, the worst home playoff defeat in the history of the New England Patriots. But how about that?
Here's the thing about that, though, is that their coach, Belichick, has a way of being so positive that they won't get down. I guarantee you.
He'll figure out a way to find the positive in the loss, is
they're
what you're saying?
They're probably already partying.
It was only their second postseason home loss ever, dating to 1978. Quarterback Tom Brady's first home playoff loss ever since he's been in New England. So a lot of records broken for a team that, if you'll recall, just a couple of seasons ago was 18-1 when they went all the way to the Super Bowl before they lost it. Let's find out what the coach is up to today now that he is in the offseason. No more football to prepare for because the Patriots are out of the playoffs. Hi, Mr. Belichick. Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show. Thank you so much for joining us. I know it was a tough loss yesterday. Obviously, no coach likes to go down like that, but there must be some positives as you go ahead.
Nope.
What do you mean, no?
No.
Well, there had to be something that went right that you can be encouraged by.
No positives.
None.
It's just winning. Winning is the only positive. And when you don't win,
there's nothing there.
Wow.
You didn't look, I mean, you never look very happy on the sidelines, but yesterday in particular, you looked like you were having one of the most miserable days, excuse me, Saturday, one of the most miserable days of your life.
Yeah.
Don't you think it's important for a leader to inspire his players and to encourage them and to make sure that they're motivated and get them up? And you, it doesn't look like you do any of that.
Well, I'm here now making some changes at the facility.
Oh, you're already?
That I think will help motivate
okay.
players for next year.
Right. Like what?
Oh, no, no, no. Not with the gun again,
yeah,
Coach.
Welker.
Gone?
Where's Welker?
You just shot him?
Yep.
He's hurt. You don't shoot a guy because, just because he's hurt.
They shoot horses.
Yeah, but this is a guy. Give him a chance to recover. He's a good player. He'll be back.
He had a chance. He had a chance to recover.
Wow.
Gave him a week.
That's rough.
Yeah.
You gave him a whole week, I guess. That's
I
enough.
Did.
Yeah, sure.
And couldn't play.
Coach, I'm not suggesting at all rest on your laurels, but I mean, you've had a very successful run there in New England. You won 3 Super Bowls. I mean, you know. You got a lot of talent. You're a good coach. You'll be back.
Uh-oh. Who?
Coach staff.
The coaching staff now.
Yeah. Is the locker room. Flamethrower.
Well, how is destroying the locker room going to help you? Aren't you going to need that next season?
Front office.
Whoa. You have a lot of weapons at your disposal.
Don't bother trying to call them this week.
Okay.
No one there to answer the phones.
Is it possible that the problem is the coach?
Gillette Stadium.
You blowing up the whole stadium?
Just called it a missile?
Time to get a new stadium.
Well, the stadium isn't the problem. The stadium is beautiful.
Was beautiful.
The New England part of the United States?
Well, don't. It's not the people's fault.
All the states are New England.
War on the United States.
You can't just lop off a quarter of the country, Coach. Mr. Belichick?
Oh, God. Is that job still open, Seattle?
Fire department operator 7575. What's the address, please?
16-12-1-1. Hello? Hello?
I'm here. What's the address? I'm waiting for you to tell me. Is it a house, apartment, or business?
There's a house in Compton.
Compton. What's wrong right now?
I don't know. I just want the ambulance to take me to the hospital. That's sick.
How old are you?
I'm 19, homeboy.
You're male? You're male?
Compton. I'm a male, motherfucker. Yeah, of course.
What happened to you?
I fell down. I want them to take my head.
Fell off what?
What?
What'd you fall off of?
What? Hello? Hello? Too much information this man. Hello?
Well, we need to get the information so we know what ambulance to send.
Holy Hello?
Been drinking it all tonight?
What?
Have you been drinking it all tonight?
A couple. Hey, you don't gotta bring all that siren and something like quiet and
oh, yeah, okay.
All right, home. Hey, too much information and man.
You having any trouble breathing right now?
Hell no. Hello?
Any nausea?
What?
Vomiting? You think you're gonna throw up at all?
What?
How about pale, cool, or sweaty skin? Like you're going into shock.
But like going to sleep and
what's your name?
Victor Fuentes.
All right, Victor, we'll be there in just a moment.
Come, 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 9:41.
You're listening to Kevin and Bean Show. Time to welcome the latest godfather to the program. Ladies and gentlemen, Ralph Garman became a godfather over the weekend. How does it feel?
I'm telling you, I told you never to share your true feelings with anyone outside the family.
Uh-huh.
Feels no different whatsoever.
Really?
I fully expect nothing's ever going to happen to the parents and I'll never have to do anything.
But the pressure's on if it does, right? I mean, you're the guy they go to.
Yeah.
But isn't that, I mean, really one of the worst decisions that's ever been made?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right.
Because I was concerned and then I said, K-
Kevin is raising children. And I said, really? If whatever society we live in allows that to happen, then I'm golden. I'm solid.
There is that.
It is funny that Kevin doesn't want the gays to raise kids, yet he's fine raising kids. Oh, that has always struck me as interesting.
Don't start misquoting me.
Hey, what happens if your little niece or nephew or godfather or children
little,
or
little
whatever?
Niece. Little, my okay. little niece, Cassie Jane, who's just adorable.
What happens if she grows up to be a Giants fan or a Cowboys fan?
That won't happen.
What happens if it does, though? You can't control that.
I can. And will.
Tie
and do.
And throw footballs at him?
Because I've already had this conversation with her father, and he assured okay. me that won't happen. So.
All right. So you're all good.
Was that yeah. your one thing about I'll be the godfather?
I will take care of your child, but your child must be right in the head before I do so. That means no other NFC East affiliations.
All right.
So it was great. What and then I ordered Mo Green to be shot in the eye right after the ceremony.
Really?
So it felt good, yeah.
Nice.
Felt like the real godfather.
There you like go.
Let's talk about movies, shall we? Top 10 movies at the box office. Avatar continues its juggernaut trip to number one. Only a couple of weeks, it'll become the number one money-making film of all time.
Of all time?
Yep.
And it's been a month.
That's crazy.
A month.
It's fourth weekend in release and made $48.5 million this weekend. If I had said $84 million, probably wouldn't even doubt me that
yeah.
much, would you?
I would have believed it, yeah.
I want to see it again. I mean, I saw it once, and I want to see it again.
I have not seen it yet, and I got to tell you, the length of the film frightens me. I'm scared off by 2 hours and 40 minutes.
A long time.
That is putting me off my feet a little bit.
I agree, yet I've been to see movies like There Will Be Blood that were that length, and you yeah. don't regret it.
But I can watch a drama. I can watch a character-based, actor-driven drama for 3 hours. That's easy for me.
Okay.
Special effects movies that are heavy on that may rely on that almost exclusively to tell the story. It gets a little tedious for me.
But it's
it gets
not
a little tedious.
It's not a gimmick, though. I mean, it's real as far as you're watching. You
right. I understand that. I understand the effects are remarkable well and done. Revolutionary. And I know I'm going to be wearing glasses for almost 3 hours. That's all I'm saying.
I'll tell you what I was trying desperately to remember was who it was we talked to or whatever the website was that told you when it was safe to go to the bathroom. Because I had to go to the bathroom so right. bad.
We were talking
Mr.
to
P,
Carson Palmer's brother, and it was runp.com.
Runp.com, that's it.
I was trying desperately. I was like, okay, can I go now? No,
that's
something's
a good,
about
that's
to happen.
A good, that's a good point.
Yeah. Especially with the long ones.
I say go whenever a blue dude fires an arrow. That's probably when you should go. That's safe. And, yeah, number one at the box office, Sherlock Holmes continues to do very well for itself as well. It was number two at the box office, a little over $16 million this weekend. Alvin and the Chipmunks, in its squeakquel, inexplicably, still making a lot of money. Number three at the box office this weekend.
That's what people went to see, right? They heard that. Went, yes.
Those are the Chipmunkettes. Those
Chipettes,
are the female counterparts to the Chipmunks.
Correct him, Bean. That's important.
Yeah,
I'm
sorry.
Right.
I didn't mean to call them the Chipmunkettes. I meant the Chipettes because that's what they should be called. F-U. Daybreakers was fourth at the box office.
A lot of vampires in that one. Very few humans.
It's complicated. Leap Year was sixth. Blind Side, Up in the Air, Youth and Revolt, and The Princess and the Frog, rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Titanic, by the way, the previous record holder for most money-making film ever, only did $28 million in its fourth weekend.
And this
so
did
48? Show you how this movie's on pace.
Wow.
It's crushing that record. So we'll see how it makes
what is the record?
All said and done.
Did you say what the total
Titanic grossed $1.84 billion in ticket sales by the time it was all done.
So this still has a ways to go.
Avatar, right now, as we speak, has $1.34 billion worldwide ticket sales.
Wow.
So that's only after 4 weeks. It's got $1.3 billion. Titanic, in its entirety of its run, was $1.8 billion in ticket sales.
Okay.
So it is certainly on pace to be number one. In a couple weeks.
If you have the Avatar video game, email us and let us know if it's any good. Can't tell. Can't tell if it's a cheap tie-in to a big movie or if it's actually a good video game.
Minka Kelly.
Ah!
Yes. Ah! Friday Night Lights actress, yes.
About to get hitched. No. She's getting married to Derek Jeter of the New York Yankees.
Yeah, Derek.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I would do everything to her. I would wreck that chick.
New York Post has a story today, says after months of speculation, Jerick, and Kinka are headed to the altar.
God, she's hot. Playboy hot.
It's like November 5th will be the date the two will betroth.
It's bullshit, man.
That's true.
That's a good deal for him.
Yeah.
Right there.
It is.
I guess for her, too. I guess he's considered sort of a hunk, right?
I guess. If Lisa were still alive, we could ask her, but I guess.
And it's very sad, sad news. Art Clokey has passed.
No!
Yeah.
Say no!
The cloakster's gone.
No!
Yeah. The cloakster. Cloaking device, as I used to call him.
No!
Captain Cloak.
No!
No!
Cloak and Dagger.
A Pollo Cloco.
Pollo Cloco. Come on.
I don't think you're taking it seriously.
Props for that.
La Vida Clokey.
Nice.
No.
Yeah.
He's gone. For those of you who don't know, Art Clokey, you're poorer for it.
Which is everyone.
But I'll have you know, he invented Gumby. Mother effing Gumby.
Once a little green dab of clay. Gumby.
This is Richard Cheese.
But you should see what Gumby can do.
Frank Sinatra Jr.
Let's sing the Gumby
theme. Frank Sinatra's son.
Gumby.
Ralph, do the, I don't know why I'm asking you, although you are a godfather, do kids today, they still play with the Gumby and the Pokey and the Nopey? Are they still popular toys or no?
I don't know. I know they're available, but I think they're only available online now, the bendable Gumby and Pokey figures that were so popular for so long. I'm not even sure if you see Gumby on the TV any longer.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Maybe on Boomerang, one of those retro cartoon networks, but I don't see a lot of Gumby.
I'm sure Bean has one, by the way, at home.
Bean's got a Gumby? Yeah. Bean's got a Gumby wrapped around his junk as we speak.
I'm a fan of Gumby, yeah.
Yeah, I bet you are. And of course, Nopey, his dog, Nopey.
No.
Greatest dog ever. Remember the Blockheads?
No.
Nope. He used to battle those Blockheads.
Yeah, that's right.
Awesome show. Great if you're stoned, telling you.
Gotta be stoned.
Take on a whole new appreciation.
We should have a call-in topic sometime of TV shows that are awful. But when you're stoned,
are the greatest awesome thing you've ever seen?
Yeah.
Small wonder.
Yeah,
well, that's
a good one. Yeah, little girl robot. Clokey was 88 years old. He went to USC Film School. Sold the concept of Gumby to Howdy Doody. Apparently, that's where Gumby first appeared. Was on the old Howdy Doody kid show. Then branched off into his own series. First time claymation was ever used on television.
Are we still talking about Gumby?
We wouldn't have had the dancing raisins, Kevin, if it hadn't been for Gumby.
That would have been a loss.
Remember that herd through the grapevine, the raisins?
Sure. California raisins,
California,
yeah.
California raisins, yeah. Rest in peace.
Oh, my God. Who the hell cares?
Gumby dead. And stars are getting rid of their tattoos these days. Star Magazine has a list of celebrities who apparently are having their tattoos removed.
I hope it's every player in the NBA.
Embarrassment.
Worst tattoos ever.
Apparently 50 Cent. Oh. Is lasering off the artwork on his left arm. He's no longer pleased with that. Jessica Alba is getting the Daisy and the Ladybug on the back of her neck lasered off. What was she in a gang?
Yeah, what is that about?
Daisy and the Ladybug?
Really, they're a pretty tough
back
gang.
Of your neck? Yes, I do.
That's her gang name, Ladybug.
Orle.
Orle, Ladybug. Your hair's like all crunchy. Did you see Victor Fuentes? He like fool. Did you talk to that fool on 911? It's keen, eh? And Pharrell Williams is having new skin sewn onto his arm to cover his tattoos.
New skin?
He's having skin grafted onto his arm.
What happened to lasering it off?
I guess he's in a hurry.
Wow.
But that takes a couple treatments.
Did he have a homeless guy killed to get some skin?
Apparently, yes. It's organ retrieval.
Kevin, here's the answer you're looking for from one of our listeners of the Kevin and Bean Show in Australia.
Yes.
Guys, I bought the Avatar game because I love the movie. I've seen the film four times already, but the game is a huge disappointment. Gameplay sucks, and it's very slow.
That's what I was afraid of.
Crikey! So says Brad.
A lot of times it's just to cash in on the heat of the movie.
I can't imagine James Cameron, though, would allow some sort of a cheap knockoff of his movie. I mean, he's pretty particular about things being special.
Thank you, person in Australia, for that answer.
Crikey, mate. Good on you. Speaking of Australians, did you see Yvonne Strahovski last night on Chuck?
Yeah.
Her and this Swedish supermodel actress, I don't know who it was, they've got a scene where they're getting ready to go out on a mission, and they're just in their underwear, and they're like strapping weapons to different parts of their bodies. They're putting like a stiletto knife into their stiletto heel and like strapping a gun to their holster and a thigh, and they're just in their underwear getting ready to kick ass.
I sort of have a boner.
And then they put on their dresses and they zip each other up before they go out on their big night mission. So hot.
Chuck is back.
So is my erection.
I respect wood. I revere wood.
Today's celebrity birthdays: Kim Coles from Living Single and from In Living Color and other shows with living in the title. She's 48 years old. Actor, no.
Actor.
Actress. Amanda Peet is 38 years old today. Singer Mary J. Blige celebrates her 39th birthday. Tom Dumont of No Doubt is 42. And our very own producer, the lovely Miss Alex Warren, celebrates her birthday today. So we want to wish her a happy birthday.
In place of
we all forgot to bring cards and things.
In place of a gift.
That's right.
Happy birthday.
In place of a gift, she has our hearty good thoughts.
Slap on the back.
That's right.
Well done.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning, an all-new program. We have Petros Papadakis in the studio. He, of course, a sportscaster who used to play for Pete Carroll. And can tell us about Pete's...
Nope, never did.
He didn't?
I didn't think so.
Yeah.
Well, before Pete got there.
I think his last year was 2001, which was the final year of John Robinson.
Yeah, right.
The first
who used to play just before Pete Carroll. So we're going to talk about that, going to Seattle.
What's he think?
That's a bad move.
Yeah.
We also have Vampire Weekend in the studio. Talk to them about the new album. They're going to perform live. We have Jim Barry from CES talking about all the new electronic gadgets. I don't think they do that, no.
Oh.
And we have L.A. King Captain Dustin Brown, also on the U.S. Olympic team.
Dustin Brown.
On the
hockey player named Dustin Brown.
And he's a tough bastard, too.
Sounds like a librarian.
Look, if you're Dustin, you got
to learn how to fight, right?
Yeah, you have to. All right. That's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
Don't go away. Kat Corbett's up next. She's got the 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music that you love, including that new song called Symphonies that's been blown up by Dan Black. Also, Incubus coming up, Kings of Leon, Muse, Pennywise, and more. Straight ahead, right after this on K-Rock.